Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. We will rise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. The church, hallelujah, will rise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom. My brother, my sister, welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, Brother in Christ, Brother LV Zapata. Hallelujah. I will rise when he called my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. We will be there with him for sure. Hallelujah. We do not, for no reason, miss the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. Amen. I don't see any reason why would anyone miss the rapture, my brother, my sister. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Hallelujah. It doesn't fit into my thinking that someone can hallelujah, be looking for the Lord and will want to miss the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ. Amen. So shalom, Brother Miguel. Amen, Reverend. Hallelujah. Regina Rivera, shalom. Shalom, Sister Vera Street. Thank you. Thank you to each and one of you, hallelujah, that are joining us tonight. My brother and sister listening on the cell phone. Shalom, Joseph. Shalom. Praise you. Praise you, mighty Lord. Praise you, mighty Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the one who has all the answer. Not me, anybody else. Jesus does. Okay? Always remember that. You want to know anything, pray, fast, and seek the Lord. And for sure, he will answer you. Shalom, Sister Luna. He has all the answer. I don't have all the answer. No man has all the answer, but only Jesus, my brother and my sister. Amen. So going to him for an answer, I believe, is the best thing you and I can do. Going to the Lord and praying and fasting. It's always been my advice to people from the beginning, and it always works when we go to the Lord and we ask him about anything, and he answers us, my brother and sister. Amen. He has the answer to all of our problems, to all of our situation. So no matter what situation we find ourselves in, okay, when we go to Jesus, he'll give us the answer. We just need to be patient or wait a little on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, as the Bible says. Amen, and he will answer us. Amen. Shalom, Brian. Thank you, Lord. Relief. Shalom. Thank you, Lord. I received from the Lord a wonderful revelation this morning about the millennium, the new earth. And hallelujah, he took me there. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many of those were able to listen in Spanish to the revelation. Amen. But thank you, Lord. I'm going to share it tonight. I believe it will be a blessing to your life. For some reason, I could not explain everything in Spanish. I'll do my best, my brothers and sisters, amen, to explain it as much as I can. With the Lord's help, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We thank the Lord for his love, his mercy. And of course, we will go into the word because since I was there taken by the Lord, as the Lord was having me go to and fro there, he, from right to left, he first took me right, then he took me left, right to left. And he's always right, so he takes you right. Thank you, Lord, and that's what's awesome about the Lord's servant, shalom. So I'm going to explain how the Lord took me there and praise you, Jesus, what he showed me and what he wanted me to know, biblical, totally biblical, my brother, my sister, which Hallelujah. I'm glad he did show me what he showed me, because it brings the word of life to us. Every time the Lord shows you something about heaven, the millennium, the word comes alive to you. And it just blesses you so much. Hallelujah. Being in his presence, being there, my brother and sister, it's just so awesome. We're looking forward to that. But let me tell you, the millennium is about to come. It's almost here. My brother and sister, as soon as after 7 year great tribulation, the millennium began on the earth. And the Lord has mighty plan for this earth and how he's going to bring everything about and how everything is going to change. The Bible says he makes all things new. Okay? He's making everything new. And that is so awesome. My brother, my sister. Now, because when I was there, Exodus chapter 32 was in my mind. Why I was there? Because that's what the Lord was speaking to me, my brother, my sister. And so I'm going to be reading Exodus 32, and then, hallelujah, as the Lord lead me, I have other verses to share. I will share, my brother and sister. Please open your heart to the word of the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to you always, because we all need the Lord to speak to us. One way or another, in our life, there's something that needs to be stronger, okay? Whether it's waiting, you're frustrated, you're going through a difficult time, you're struggling with something. When the Lord speaks to you, when the Lord ministers to you in that area of your life, he'll make you stronger. Shalom, Jesus, my rock. He'll help us overcome that in our life, the weak part in our life. He'll make us stronger. His grace is sufficient, as he said to Paul, my brother and my sister. So we need the Lord to help us to overcome those things in our life that are not pleasing to him. Amen. So opening our heart to his word is always the best thing we can do to receive what he has to say and minister to us according to our need and according to his will, his plan. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I begin in Exodus 32, my brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Let me tell you, last night after praying overnight with the Lord, I like to ask the Lord if I visit any, stay any place to speak to me there, to visit me there in the hotel anywhere, in the hotel specifically, and give me a revelation as I'll stay with him in prayer. And he did. He came to me and while in Charlotte this weekend, and hallelujah, visited me in the hotel in the middle of the night while in prayer. And when he came, when I was in prayer, I was so happy that Jesus came. But I sensed in my spirit he was coming to reveal me something, because immediately I began to ask him, reveal me something, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing best we can do is spend time with the Lord. The night before, he had me pray all night long without sleeping. And I wanted to complain, but I held myself, because I was like, oh, man, I'm so tired. But no, he would not let me sleep. He wanted me to stay up all night long in prayer. Like, okay, let his will be done and not ours. Okay? I didn't want to murmur like the children of Israel, because that's what they did. God wanted to take them the extra mile, and they would not. Moses, you speak for us before God, and that is very wrong. Because sometimes I feel like I want to do the same. Like, oh, stay all night long in prayer, no sleep. Oh, man. But no, okay? Because then we forget that he can give us sleep. It says in his word, he'll give his servant sleep. Okay, so, but it's when he say, I'm going to have you rest, my son, my daughter, whoever it is. Okay, so let his will be done, my brother, my sister. Amen. Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. Notice that Moses here is representing Jesus, my brother, my sister. Because in Matthew 25, when you read the parable of the 10 virgins, okay, what do you read? This is from the Living Bible. So when the bridegroom was delayed, they lay down to rest until the midnight. And when they were roused by the shout, the bridegroom is coming, come out to welcome him. Notice that it's just so similar. Moses delayed coming down from the presence of God. He was speaking with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus delayed coming for his bride. You know what I see here? God is testing us in the delay of Jesus. Even in his delay, he's testing our patience, whether we will wait. Not that we can wait, because he can help us wait. But he's testing us whether we will be willing to wait. Are you willing? Are you some of those that are saying, Lord, I cannot wait anymore? No. Yeah, if you feel this way, you have to repent, and you got to ask him to help you wait on him. Because the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. And if you're like, no, I can't wait no longer, then you're not waiting upon the Lord. See what I'm saying? Wait upon the Lord. So Moses delayed. You know, God could have said, Moses, you need to calm down, or these people are going to do something crazy, create an animal, a calf, and worship it and do all this. But if you go down now, Moses, that will not happen. It doesn't work this way with God. Because, see, here's the thing. God wants to show you and I what's in our heart, what's deep in our heart. And I know you'll get mad at God when God shows you that what's in your heart. Because you cannot believe you acted this way. You will not believe you behave this way. You're like, God, how can I say these things? How can I act this way, you'll say. It's what's in your heart, and God is exposing it. Okay? There's nothing hidden, Jesus said, that will not come out to light. So God is exposing what is in you, and you don't like it. You want to keep it inside. But God has said, look, my daughter, look, my son, I'm going to show you what's in your heart, because I want to change you. I want to make you like my son, like Jesus, patient, loving, caring, holy, righteous, and pure, obedient. So God will delay things you're asking him for. Lord, do this with my wife. Do this with my children. Do this with my husband. And God said, yeah, I will. God's not saying no to you. He's not saying no. God is saying to you, I will do it. Yes. But wait for it. And here's the problem with us. God is not saying no. In the moment Daniel began to pray, it says that his petition was granted. Same thing with you and I. You begin to pray for your wife to be baptized in tongue, Brother Miguel. God's just going to say, yes, okay, wait. But God, you know, I just want you to, God said, yes. Didn't I tell you yes? But I want you to wait. Wait. Just wait. Hallelujah. Wait upon the Lord. And do not lean on your own understanding. He will answer the petition of your heart. He already said yes. God already said yes when you ask. Whatever you ask in my name will be given to you by my Father, Jesus said. He already said yes to you and I. He's just asking you to wait upon the Lord. That's what he's asking you. He's not being like man who's saying right from the beginning, from the get-go, no. You want to borrow what? Are you crazy? Last time I lent you money, you never paid me back. The man will say, that's man. God said, look, okay, my child, last time you made a mistake, but you know what? I forgive you. I'm going to give you more. Wait a minute. And in that process, God will reveal your heart. God will work with you, and he'll bless you. He's faithful. There's not one promise he made in the Bible that he's not going to answer you and I. He's going to answer us. Okay? You can bite your finger. You can punch the wall. You can get angry. But say, I'm sorry to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm so sorry for being so impatient. Help me to be patient, Lord. Lord, I'm going to fast and pray so you can help me be patient and wait on you. Because he already said yes to you. Sister Luna, the Lord already said yes to you. Brother Joseph, the Lord already said yes to you. He just wants you to wait now. Jesus, my rock, the Lord already said yes to you. You're asking him to do all these things for you. He already said yes. Sister Loretta, he said yes. The Lord's servant, the Lord already said yes. Sister Regina Rivera, the Lord's already said yes. Reverend, the Lord already said yes. Listen, the Lord already said yes to you. You ask him, he said yes. He's asking you not to wait. Wait upon him. Praise you, Lord. And this is the problem that the children of Israel has. They could not wait. Mm-mm. They could not wait. But the Bible says that these things were written for our own knowledge, our own experience, our own teaching, my brother and sister. Anyone listen, please, if you've been praying for your family to be in safe, whatever you've been asking the Lord, if you ask in the name of Jesus, God has already answered you. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask my Father in my name, it will be given to you by my Father. So the Lord said, yes. Jesus took me a few years ago before his throne. I was watching Jesus answering prayer. Every single prayer coming to his throne in his name, he was saying, yes. Yes, I grant it. I grant it. I grant it. I never heard him saying no. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just heard the Lord say yes. I just heard the Lord say yes. Thank you, Lord. This is what I pray for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So the Lord already said yes to you. Okay? You're listening in your cell phone. You're listening on Skype on your computer. The Lord already said yes to you. He's just asking you to wait on him now. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Because he needs to show you what's in your heart. And you may not like it, but ask him to change you. Hallelujah. Ask him to cleanse you, to purify your heart. That praise you, Jesus. You want his will to be done in your life and not your own. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So here's what happened in this story. When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron, and they said to him, we don't know what happened to this Moses. My brother and sister, you know, I'm reading the story, right? And I imagine them, you know, you got about 5 million people, and they're gathering around this man. Looks to me like a mafia, okay? Like a mafia. They gather around Moses. Stick it out, Moses. Aaron, stick it out. What's going on here? Aaron, we want you to make the God that led us out of Egypt. You know, when they set you this way, you got all these men and women that are about to kill you, okay, telling you what they want you to do. When the mafia asks you what they want you to do, what do you say? Are you going to say no to this? Because he'll be a dead man or dead woman. At this time, Aaron is a dead man. He had no choice but to say yes to these people, okay, because they were all in agreement together. Like when they were building the Tower of Babel, they were all in one mind, one heart. They were total agreement. So there was no one there that can stand up and say, listen, I don't agree with it, because he would have been a dead man right away. Dead. They would have killed him. So right now they're doing the same thing to Aaron. Aaron, make us the God that led us out of Egypt. But the Bible says they surround him. God is giving you details here. Because God's letting you know is Aaron is being threatened here. His life here. What do you think happened if Aaron would have said no? They didn't need a knife. With so many people, all they had to do was beat on him. He would have been dead by the time Moses came down from the mountain. So Aaron fell for his life practically. Because when you got so many people threatening you, you're going to have to say yes or you're a dead man. Okay? So Aaron, they said to him, we don't know what happened to this Moses. You know, and God gives you a clue in the word. I call him clue. Some people will call him revelation, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to say this wide. Because look at the tone of voice they use with Aaron, my brother and sister. How do you know someone is mad? You know, by the face expression and also by the tone of voice. The tone of voice they use in here is one of the tone of voice is. Because they didn't say it's our leader, Moses. Okay, our friend Moses, they were not being friendly to Aaron. Their tone of voice here is, when they say this Moses, it's like this guy, like people on the street speaks. My brothers, this is like people on the street speak. You either do it or you're a dead man. This Moses. So the tone of voice let you know that they were angry. We don't know what happened to this Moses. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. People on the street say, oh, you want to get a reminder? And they grab him, they slap him around. Oh, yeah, I remember. Moses. Okay. So, who led us out of Egypt? May God who will lead us. Hallelujah. You know, being in Egypt for so many years, Aaron. Hallelujah. Fellow Moses. Thank you, brother. You know, being in Egypt, Aaron, for so many years, you know, you will hope that he will forget everything he knew. My brother and sister. Pastor Gigi Avila, when he tell about this story, he says that this what happened here is very strange with Aaron, my brother and sister. Okay? I'm going to read you part of the story, but I want you to think about what Pastor Gigi Avila, who's in heaven, said about the story when he told this story. And I agree with him in some part because he says something weird about the story. And I'm going to show you what the weird part is, because I don't know if a lot of people notice this, but there's something very real about the story, my brother and sister, okay? Because things don't make themselves, okay? And in this story, they did. I want you to see. Aaron said unto them, have your wives, sons, and daughters take off the gold earring that they're wearing and bring them to me. I'm reading from the God's Word translation. So all the people took the gold earring, handed unto Aaron, and after he had worked on the gold and on the tool, with a tool, he made it to the stack to calf. Well, and the King James, it sounds like when he put it into the fire, the calf comes out. So it's like the work of evil. But this translation said that Aaron has the tool to work this. I don't know why Aaron carried in a bag this tool to make idols. Okay? It looks to me like if you are a repentant man of God and you had a pipe, you know what I mean? You don't carry with you in the wilderness when God is leading you to go come and worship him. You don't carry a box of beer. You don't carry a machete might be okay for the wilderness. You don't carry a bag of beer. You don't carry a pipe with you. If you used to use drugs, and God's leading you out of drugs and is calling you into church, you're coming to church with a pipe in your bag. Well, that's kind of what Aaron has. All the tools to make an idol. Aaron had it in a bag. I don't know how it is, but we see Aaron going into the Holy of Holies and all this, making sacrifice unto the Lord. Why is he carrying tools to make idols? So a lot of things you question about people. And it shows you that what the heart was. My brother and sister, because when you repent, you take all these things out of your house, out of your life. You take the pipe, you throw it, you break it. You don't even give it to nobody. And, you know, if you have beers in your fridge, whatever, you take them out, you break them, you don't even give them to nobody. You throw them in the trash. You don't want to deal with it anymore. You say, I'm not drinking anymore. Jesus is what I needed. I don't need nothing else. I'm a changed man. I'm a changed woman, the sisters that are listening. Aaron is still carrying his tools. Okay? And we're not judging here, please. We're not judging anyone. We're just saying that the story here, when you read it, it tells you that they were men and women in the process of being changed every day. And you and I are in the same a lot of the time. We're being changed every day by day. My brothers and sisters, they were not perfect men and women. They were still being changed by God. Remember that. Thank you, Lord. Then they say, Israel, he is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Here's the other thing. What he's proclaiming here, what Aaron and the other men are proclaiming is not true. It is simply not true. These God did not lead them out of Egypt. It was God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. So why are they proclaiming this lie? My brothers and sisters, it seems like they just want to believe anything else, that it was, even if it wasn't true. You got to be careful what you believe in. You got to believe God only. Because if you believe anything else, you can be led falsely easily. And look at Aaron, great man of God being led falsely easily, my brother and sister. So when Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of an announcement. Tomorrow will be a festival unto the Lord honor. First of all, he knew that God, through the Ten Commandments, told them about that thou should not worship other God beside him. That this was not allowed. God will not tolerate this. Why is he taking the wicked, the evil, and now presenting it unto the Lord as in the sacrifice? Totally wrong. A lot of churches do this today. A lot of people do this today. The wicked things of the world, you don't offer it unto God. You offer unto God your life, your heart. God wants your heart, remember. Offer your heart to him. Servant. Shalom, Brother Strada. Servant. With all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Totally deceived right now. Early the next day, the people sacrificed burnt offering, brought a fellowship offering. Afterward, they sat down to a feast. We turned into an orgy. Wow. Fornication, my brother and sister. They began to fornicate with one another, not being married. Very clear there in verse, my brother and sister, 6. Okay? I'm glad I'm reading it from this Bible. Because it tells you they fell into fornication. And the Lord said unto Moses, notice that in the moment they first fell into idolatry, now into fornication. Sexual sin, okay? Now God said enough, okay? Enough, I'm taking action on this. I'm not standing for this. The Lord said unto Moses, go back down there. Your people whom you brought out of Egypt have ruined everything. Look what this translation says, have ruined everything, okay? They already turned from the way I commanded them to live. They made a statue, a cup, for themselves. They bow down to it and offer sacrifice to it. They said, Israel, he is the God who brought you out of Egypt. It was a total abomination. The glory that belongs to God, they were giving it to an idol. This is what happened when people, hallelujah, are misled, are in false teaching. Instead of worshiping the real God, they worship the false God. And this is what they were doing. My brother, my sister. And the Lord added, I see these people, and they are impossible to deal with. Okay? I believe the word is hard-necked. Okay? They will not listen. And impossible here is because God keeps talking to them more and more and more and more. And they will hear God say to them, thou shalt not worship other God. And they still ended up doing it. Stiff-necked is the word. Stiff-necked people, my brother and sister, hallelujah. And God, dealing with them, says, now leave me alone. I'm so angry with them, I'm going to destroy them, God says to Moses. And they make you a great nation. But Moses pleaded with God, is God. Lord said, he said, why are you so angry with your people whom you brought out of Egypt using your great power and mighty hand? Don't let the Egyptians say he was planning all along to kill them in the mountain and wipe them off the face of the earth. That's why he brought them out of the land. Don't be so angry. Consider your decision. Bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You took an oath swearing on yourself. You told them, I will make you a descendant numerous as the stars of the sky. I will give to your descendant all the land I spoke of it, and I will be a permanent possession. So the Lord considered his threat to destroy his people. Hallelujah. Moses turned and went down from the mountain carrying out two tablets with God's word. They were written on both sides from front and back. The tablet were the work of God, the writing of God, the writing inscribed in the tablet. Then Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting. He says to Moses, the sounds of war in the camp. Moses replied, it is not the sound of women shouting. It's not the sounds of Lucifer crying. It is a sound of wide celebration a wild celebration right here. And he came near the camp. He saw all the cup. He saw the cup and the dancing. And he burst of anger. Moses threw down the tablet, smashed them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the cup that he had made, burning, hallelujah, ground it to powder, scattered it over the water, and made the Israelite drink it. Moses asked Aaron, why did the people do to you that you encouraged them to commit such a serious sin? Don't be angry, sir, Aaron answered. You know that these people are evil. Hallelujah. Look how he referred to the children of Israel. Aaron referred to them as being evil, okay? Because earlier, Aaron was afraid of them, my brother and sister. And this is why he referred to them as being evil people, okay? It's a police investigation. Why do you do what these mafia people say? Because you know they're evil, okay? Then he said to me, we don't know what happened to Moses, who brought it out of Egypt, make a God for us, is what they have said. As he explained to Moses, the leaders, and I told them that any gold that they were wearing, they would give it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and they come a calf. Here's the thing. He threw it into the fire. And that's what his brother Gigi said. They threw it into the fire, and a calf comes. That was the work of evil. That was the work of Satan. It's what he said. Aaron had let the people get out of control, and they became suggestive, ridiculous to their enemy. So Moses saw this, he stood in the entrance of the camp and said, if you are on the side of the Lord, come over here to me. Then all the Levite gathered around him, and he said unto them, what is it that the Lord God of Israel said? Each of you put on your sword, go back forward from the end of the camp to the other, and kill your relatives, friends, and neighbors. And the Levite did what Moses told them, and that day 3,000 people died. So Moses said, today are in the ordinance of the Lord, priest, God gave you blessing today because of you fought with your own sons and brother. Hallelujah. So, stiff neck, thank you. 3,000 people died, my brother and sister, because they will not repent. The Lord takes me into the millennium, the new earth. He takes me to this part of the Dominican Republic. Remember now that there is sea between this country in the Dominican Republic. In the millennium, there's no sea. Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, all these islands are all connected. United States, they're all connected. Central America, all connected. All the countries are connected as one. There is no sea, the Bible says, right? They're all connected. We're back like in the back of the Garden of Adam and Eve. All the countries are one. Now they are disconnected. They're all connected. You can walk all the way there from any part of the north and back and forward, it's all connected. It's one, as the earth was in the beginning. So I go there, and I'm looking for my relatives, uncle, aunts, people that I knew. We're in the hundreds up in the island. And as I go there in the millennium, and I'm looking for them, I find none of them, none of the elders. But I see the children and grandchildren. Some of the children, but most of the old grandchildren, my brother and sister. And I began to ask for them. And they were looking at me like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, where is so-and-so? I said, where is your hallelujah, where is your father, your grandfather? They're like, what are you talking about? This is why, Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I created a new heaven and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. They do not remember why, because God have erased them from their mind, from their memory. There's no memory of the wicked, fornicating, idolater, father or mother, uncle or grandparents, my brother and sister. The grandchildren, the babies, that when the rapture, the departure happened, the Lord is going to take his babies that are not vaccinated. I don't know how many of the vaccinated babies are going, but I know that the unvaccinated are going. They are of the Lord, and the Lord has said over the year, he's taking home his babies, my brother and sister. And he's not going to put the sins of their parents upon the babies. Hallelujah. Because they're his, my brother and sister. And they're going to come to the millennium, And they're going to grow up. And they will have no memory of their parents or grandparents, my brother and sister, because the former things, hallelujah, will not be remembered, will not even come to mind. And I'm going around with them, and I sit down with them, and I was asking them about the fathers, the grandfathers, the people that I knew from back here. And these children did not remember them. And did not even come to mind. Some of them said, what are you talking about? How can we help you? Giving them names, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. So I was like, wow. And the Lord brought me to mind Exodus 32. That the children of Israel, the parents, that God made them a promise that he was bringing them into a land that's full of milk and honey. My brothers and sisters. God, hallelujah, began to cut them out in the wilderness. Here, by the own sword of their own people. Later, by the serpent. And then by the earth opening up and swallowing also. Notice that the 3,000 being swallowed. Their parents are being killed, are being eliminated in the wilderness. Because the Bible is very clear, no fornicator, no idolater like Esau, my brother and sister. The Bible warns us not to be like Esau, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And people without realizing are behaving like Esau on the earth. God has said very clear in Psalm 87:1. His foundation is a holy mountain. Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Isaiah 30:29, yes, shall have a son in the night when the holy solemnity is kept and the gladness of the heart, when one goes, hallelujah, with pipe to come into the mountain to the Lord, the mighty one in Israel. Hallelujah, when they come to praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 56:7. Even with all, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them a joyful in my house of prayer. The burnt offering and the sacrifice shall be accepted upon my mountain. For my house shall be called the house of prayer unto all nations. 57:13 of Isaiah. And when the dust shall cry, let the company deliver thee. With the wind thou shalt carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that put his trust in me shall possess the land. And so inherit in my holy mountain. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 65:25, and the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Thus, hallelujah, shall be the serpent me. And hallelujah, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah 66:20, and they shall bring all your brethren in offering unto the Lord about all the nation. Upon horses and upon chariot litter and upon mule and upon sweet beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring offering and clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. For in my holy mountain and the mountain high of Israel, saith the Lord God, that shall all the house of Israel and all them in the land serve me. There I will accept them, and that I will require your offering and your first fruit and oblation with all your holy things. God has a plan of holiness and righteousness for the millennium. Nothing evil, nothing wicked is going to come to the place. If anyone is to come to him, my brother and sister, right now, should be repenting, should be calling upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, they should be repenting, fasting, praying, committing their life to the Lord, standing away from all type of sin, fornication, idolatry, any sexual sin. Right now, anyone should be that is seeking the Lord, that are repenting, that are committing the life of the Lord. Right now, my brother and sister, God is calling us right now to be ready. Jesus is about to come for his bride. Hallelujah. There's only 7 left in time of men, in time that God has given us. There's only 7 left, my brother and sister. And that 7 is running out. I don't know if it's 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 months, 7 years. My brother and sister, but there's only 7 left. 7 left. Hallelujah. Before the shofar trumpet of God sound, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And the Lord takes me. And I began to talk to the people. And I began to ask for people that I knew. None of them made it. Numb of the people that are in idolatry and fornication and sin that have been refusing to, hallelujah, to seek the Lord, to commit their life to the Lord. Now, they did not make it to the millennium. My brother and sister, and I was looking for them. I could not find them. I went from the north to the west. I was looking. I was moving in the speed, my brother and sister, hallelujah, quickly. And nothing. I could not find one of them on the earth, my brother and sister. There were other people on the earth. There were new people on the earth. Hallelujah, a new thing the Lord said he will do on the earth. My brother and sister, that's what was going on. His servant, his hallelujah, his holy one, he is the one, those are the ones he's bringing into, hallelujah, the new earth. But the fornicator, the adulterer, those that have forsaken God, hallelujah, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, the Lord was reminding me, what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness? What happened when I took them out of Egypt and they began to fornicate? They began to do idolatry. They began to do evil. They didn't make it into my promised land. Neither will these people today. These people around the earth today, if they are behaving and not doing the same as the children of Israel did in the wilderness, they are not going to make it to the new earth. He was showing me. Go ahead and look. And as I came forward, I went to the island. And I'm looking for it. And then I came to this way, my brother and sister. And I was going back and forth looking for these people, and I could not find them. And the Lord was letting me to look for them. Why? For me to see that his word is true. Hallelujah, that no wicked and no one that does wicked and evil are going to make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They're not going to make it, my brother and sister, because God is holy and righteous. Joel 3:17, so show you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no stranger pass through her any more. No one who's not repenting. No one who's not committing their life to God, who's not seeking him in holiness and righteousness, will make it to the new earth, to the new Jerusalem, my brother insisted. None. The Lord allowed me to go to and fro, and I'm going quickly, and I'm looking, and I'm checking. I'm inspecting the earth. I'm inspecting the earth for these people, and none of them could be found. I'm looking. I'm asking other people that were there if they will see them, if they heard about them, and they all said, no, we never heard about them. We don't know them. We never heard. It's not in their memory. It's not in their mind. They cannot remember them no more. And I'm like, this is so strange to them. These were your family. These were your grandparents. These were your parents. And nope. They said, no. We don't remember them, they said to me. My Lord, my God. 2 Nehemiah 3:11, and that they shall not be ashamed for all thy doing where thou hast transgressed against me. For I will take away all that is in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. That thou rejoice in pride. Thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Haughty heart. My brother and sister will be removed. God wants people humble. 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 It's good the way God wants us, my brother and sister. Wide. Thank you, Lord. What is the Sermon on the Mount? I want to remind you of the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5. My brother and sister, when Jesus said, blessed are those that recognize spiritual help. Let me make this in the King James. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He opened his mouth saying, and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are the kingdom of heaven. Bless, hallelujah, others, hallelujah. Are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is why we need to humble ourselves. Hallelujah. Meek people are people that have humbled themselves before the Lord. And the Lord has removed all this garbage of pride and so much more from them. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecute they the prophet who went before you. Hallelujah. He hath the soul of the earth, but if the soul hath lost its savor, whereby shall be sifted, and his fall good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot. My brother and sister, we are blessed when our life is totally committed to God. Totally. walking in holiness and righteousness, and with the help of Jesus, this cannot be done on our own. Every day we need to ask him to help us to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure, to keep his commandment, to be like Father, perfect in heaven. Be ye like your Father who's in heaven, Jesus taught his disciple. To be holy like Jesus and humble like the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, daily we need to pray for these things. We need to seek them with all of our heart. My brother and sister, this is so important. Time is so short. Time completely gone almost. And whatever is left is for us to cry out. The Lord reminded me the other day that the day is approaching quickly. And it's almost here when it will be too late for people to cry out to God, because they will have to stay in the great tribulation. When Jesus was standing on my right talking to me about this, I wanted to beg him and say, Lord, please just give people a little bit more time. But no more time. I will pray for. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm not going to pray for more time. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We want to go home. We, the bride, we want to go home. Actually, Revelation 22, 2022 says, the Spirit and the bride said, come. Okay? The Spirit and the bride said, come. So what are we supposed to do this year? Say, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come. That should be the prayer of the bride this year, 2022. Last chapter of the book of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. This is why I said the Lord in this year has not come, Revelation 22. Because the bride is still praying for him to come. That means he had not come yet. A lot of people say, no, brother, the Lord was supposed to come in 2019. Because in Revelation 19 says that it talks about the wedding and the celebration that is going on in heaven. I believe that is showing that that event is going to take place. And that by 2019, it was ready. The wedding celebration is ready, as I saw it in heaven. My brother and sister, but still Revelation 22, that on the bottom says, come, Lord Jesus. I mean, he has not come yet. Praise you, Lord. And we are waiting for the Lord to come. My brother and sister, 3,000, hallelujah. And the Levite did what Moses told him. And on that day, about 3,000 people died. Hallelujah. No one wants anyone to die. My brother and sister. But look what Moses says. Look what Moses, this is a teaching for us. I want you to pay attention to this teaching here and what Moses says to them. Because some of you may think this makes no sense. But it does. Remember the Lord telling us he's going to bless us soon? He got blessing coming to us. My brother and sister, remember what I said to you? That when the Lord releases these beasts, and thank you, Lord, and in the 3 days of darkness, and they eat all these people that they're going to eat. My brother and sister, there will be peace, more peace on the earth. Because you don't understand what's happening. A lot of people don't understand. When the apostle Paul says to Timothy that in the last days we will have doctrines of devil. Doctrines of devil. My brother and sister, if you read this in the Hebrew, the word devil comes first, then doctrine. In English, Spanish, and all these language translations, the word doctrines goes first. In the Hebrew, the word devil goes first. So if you read this in Hebrew, what you're going to read is this. Devil doctrines. Devil teaching their doctrines is what you get in the last days. Not doctrines of devil. And someone says to me, but it means the same thing, Brother Abby. No. It doesn't mean. Because when you think about someone teaching a doctrine, you think of a human teaching a doctrine. But in reality, it's a demon teaching his doctrine. It's different now. The Lord gave Dana Coverstone a dream for Halloween this year, my brother and sister. And I love this dream. And I'm going to tell you why. If you have not heard it, you need to listen to it. Okay? Let me see if I have the link. I was just listening earlier. Okay? Dana for Common Store Ministry. The Lord gave him a dream for Halloween this year. okay? In this dream, my brother and sister, I'm going to give you exactly what I'm telling you right now, or part of it, okay? The preacher that was preaching in the dream, when Jesus woke up to the preacher, he take off his mask. And when the Lord Jesus take off his mask out of the preacher, it was not human. It was a demon. My brother and sister, it was a demon with a mask in front of the congregation. They had a pastor talking a nice, beautiful message. And it looked like a human to them with a mask. But when Jesus take off the mask, it's a demon. Because that's exactly what it is. That's what you got in the pulpit in America today. Demon teaching their doctrines. I've been saying this for years in the Lord's Hour. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. Where did you get your teaching, Brother Elvie? Well, here's how the Lord reveals it to Brother Dana with Cornerstone Ministry. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It's a demon as a pastor in the pulpit teaching. But no one in the church saw a demon. They saw a human that had a mask of Halloween on. And when Jesus takes the mask, he takes also part of the face, like the skin of the face. And behind all that skin is a demon. That's exactly what the pulpit in many churches today, a demon, a real demon, covered with flesh, and if it's Halloween, a mask. But the flesh is a covering, as the mask is the same, both the same in the dream. You got to hear the dream. My brother and sister, he doesn't understand it to that deepness. Oh, wow, a demon, demonic. A principality, he's thinking. But he's not thinking of what I've been saying for years in the Lord's Hour. Demon teaching their own doctrines and the pulpit. Only what covering these demons are flesh. This is hard for people to swallow, for people to receive. Because to a lot of people, this is not normal teaching. But that's what the doctrine of devil is, or devil's doctrine, my brother and sister. It's hard, it's difficult. I'm telling you, since the Lord started teaching, revealing me this, made my stomach sick. Because I was stunned, hallelujah. My brother and sister, hallelujah. I think you're in the wrong place. Praise your Lord. Wrong place. Hallelujah. This here is not for gay people. Hallelujah. So, yeah, my brother and sister, the deceive is so great that they want to keep it this way, but the Lord's not going to allow this to be this way. It won't be allowed to be this way. The Lord is going to change all that, okay? He's not going to allow this evil to continue. Because if they continue, they're going to mislead so many people, my brother and sister, as they've been doing, misleading people, misguiding people, having people so confused in the churches, so misled that they don't know which way is up, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I will, sister. So understand how difficult this is in the last day. But at the same time, you want to know the truth. You don't want to be entertained or give entertainment message. Because it's not about that. You want to know the truth. And this is when you take it to the Lord in prayer and ask him to reveal you more. And when he does, be ready you don't fall from your bed. Okay? Like some people. You'll fall from your bed if you see the reality of it. Okay? Praise you, Lord. It's like people who are playing those game now, when they put that game on their head, okay, and the game is so close to them, they hit a wall, they hit a glass, they do crazy, they break their own TV. That's exactly how these dreams are. They're so real right in your face, okay, that when you, hallelujah, when the Lord reveals this so real to you and you experience it, If you're on the side of your bed, you fall down. If you're not sitting straight, you fall down from your chair. I mean, you'll get hurt easy. Okay? Because this is on your face. This is where it is, on your face. my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. So the next day, Moses said to the people, you have committed a serious sin. Now I will go to the mountain to the Lord. Maybe I will be able to make a payment for your sin and make peace with the Lord for your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord, and the people had committed such a serious sin. They got God out of God for himself. But I will forgive their sins. If not, please wipe out the book you have written. So he said to write his name out from the book. Moses was asking God if he will not forgive him. The Lord answered Moses, I will wipe out my book, whoever sins against me. So God is saying, I will erase their name from the book, whoever sinned against me. Let me put it here, verse 33, my brother and sister. Okay? And here's the thing. That's exactly what the Lord says, that your name will be written in the book, that your name will remain, will be written in the book. Once the person's name is written from the book of life, and the person goes into the great tribulation and all that, that's it, my brother and sister. Because right now is the time for the people to cry out to God with everything they have. And don't hold back. Cry out. Say, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me to serve you and commit their life and stop the fornication, the adultery, the lying, the idol worshiping, the stealing and all that. Stop it. Truly commit their life to the Lord now. Because I could not find anyone, my brother and sister, that adults that I was looking for that were there, that should have been there, the children and grandchildren, or some of the children I don't even know, but the great children were there. But not they. They didn't make exactly, the Lord was revealing me what happened to the children of Israel. Moses led them from Egypt to the promised land into the wilderness. But that's where they ended. They began to be cut off, eliminated on the way. My brother and sister, because they will not listen, they will not repent, they will not truly seek the Lord, they will not truly commit to the Lord. Whatever chance they have, shalom, welcome. Whatever the chance they have to sin, they took it to sin. Instead of taking it to repent, they sin. They murmur. They complain. And this time in the mountain, this fellow Moses is up in the mountain. We don't know what happened to him. Aaron, make us the God that led us out of Egypt. What kind of attitude is that? They knew the God used Moses to lead them out of Egypt into the wilderness, going straight into the promised land. God, in this moment, is showing them what's in their heart. Idolatry, fornication. The Bible warns us not to be like Esau, who was a fornicator. God was exposing what's deeply in their heart, out in the open. And they couldn't deal with. They couldn't humble themselves and ask for forgiveness. Moses has to intercede for them. Can you believe this? God has given us repenting for us to repent, my brother and sister. These people were expecting Moses to pray for them. When salvation is individual, the Bible says, my brother, yes, we can pray for one another. Jesus said, pray for one another. Yes, the moment for you to confess your sin before your God is between God and us. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, when God calls us to repent, hallelujah, and confess our sin before him, my brother and sister, it's important that we do. And that we confess our sin before the Lord every day. Truly repent and seek his forgiveness. And ask him to help us to walk, to stay, hallelujah, in his will. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth, the Bible says. Look at the question. Jesus asked his disciple. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Okay? If you're still believing, if you're still seeking him, yes. If you're still enduring, if you're still persevering, yes. That's what he's calling us to do. Each and one of us, my brother and sister. Now go lead the people to the place I have told you about. My messenger will go ahead of you. And the King James said, my angel, or in the other translation, my angel will go before you. And the angel was Jesus Christ. The way we walk in this walk is Jesus before us, leading us, guiding us. You know that I'm reading the, from this other translation, the Living Bible. As I say, that the reason why they asked Aaron to make the call for them, the God that led them out of Egypt, was for them to be led by someone. They were seeking someone to lead them, and they thought this God, this idol, was going to lead them. My brother and sister, wrong. God wants to lead us. If you don't seek the Lord to lead your life, to lead you every day, you may find yourself seeking for someone else to do it. And that's what they were doing. They were seeking for a leader in their life because they had not made the Lord, their God, their Savior, who died for them on the cross. Because he had died for you and I on the cross, my brother and sister. Then Moses told them that God was going to raise a prophet among them. Hallelujah. God was going to raise a prophet among them. They were supposed to, God said, I will send my angel before you to lead you. So they were supposed to look forward to God leading them through the angel. We're supposed to be looking to God to have Jesus lead us in the last days. So Jesus prayed to the Father that he will send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he will lead us to all truth. The Holy Spirit is in our life now to lead us. Do you ask God to lead you with the Holy Spirit, to lead you to all truth? That's supposed to be your daily prayer. That's what you're supposed to be seeking the Lord, that you will be led by the Holy Spirit every day, that he will guide you to all truth. Hallelujah. Then God said, my messenger will go before you, but I will punish them for their sin. Here it is. Hallelujah. Knowing what they did, knowing that it was wrong, yet God they forgave them. The children, my brother, but the parents, 3,000 perished. And then later on, when God tested them again through the serpent, another 3,000 fell down and died. They escaped being killed by the Levites, but they could not escape being bitten by the serpent. The serpent came and bit them. Another 3,000 that escaped before, now they die. They escaped 3,000 when the earth opened up and swallowed them. Then they escaped the Levite from killing them, and then they got killed by the serpent. Three times killed of the parents. Those were the parents, my brother and sister. Now the children, hallelujah, the children after Joshua finally brings them before Jericho, and he overcomes Jericho. When he comes to the other nation, Achan, Canaan, one of them, my brother and sister, there were still a few among them, but God also knowing that those few cannot enter into the promised land. Now Achan goes and hides that golden vessels, my brother and sister. And then the children of Israel began to die again, being killed, about the same number. Notice that there were 12,000 elders. 9,000 have been killed so far. There are 3,000 left, my brother and sister. And Joshua now is the leader. And before they really take over the land, they begin to split the land. God says, I got to test these other three. There are three. There's still a few among them that needs to be tested again. My brother, because God knows the heart. They can hide whatever. When Moses called them to his side, they went to his side. So at that moment, under fear, they said, we better get to Moses because something is going to happen here. Boom. But they were not sure yet. God said, wait a minute. These are not walking by faith yet. Wait a minute. And then the enemy began to kill them. And Joshua see this. Why Joshua is crying so much for him? Because these were men and women he knew. They were his friends at one time, brothers and sisters. You never want to see brothers and sisters die unless they're going home to be in with the Lord. And the enemy began to salute them. And Joshua threw himself in front of the altar, the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And Joshua prayed, oh, God, how can this happen? God, oh. And the Lord revealed to him that Achan, one of them, took the what he did. But all these that needed to be cleansed were cleansed. Now, Achan and his family were the last now. Out of the 12,000, Achan and his family are the last now. Okay? Achan should have known better because he's an elder. He's one or the other. He's one of the parents. He should have known better. It's not like the other children who were still looking at Achan and say, what are you doing, Achan? Oh, I know what I'm doing. I know what I used to do in Egypt. Here's the thing. That's what God wanted you to repent. Oh, you knew how to sin. You knew how to go downtown and find yourself a prostitute. You don't do that anymore, Achan. You don't do that anymore. You know what number to look up in the yellow page and find them? You don't do that anymore, Achan. Okay? And you're not going to teach it to these children. Okay? So God said, call Achan and all his family, his wife and children, and kill them all to eliminate the contamination among the people. Because if you leave Achan alive, he's going to contaminate the rest of the children who doesn't know these things, who doesn't know how to pick up the yellow page and go prostitute and know all these things. They didn't know all these things, but Achan knew very well. Okay, so God needed to eliminate Achan because Achan was one of those elders that was not repenting. My brothers, that were not committing their life to the Lord. And that's a problem. When you got people like this, it's a big problem. My brothers, but God knows how to deal with them. And this is why before the rapture, there is a 3 days of darkness coming where the Lord is going to cleanse the earth. There are many Achan in their family, in the churches, in the different nations, in the different countries, contaminating God's people. And God says, I'm going to remove the Achan. I removed 12,000 of the elder children of Israel. I'm going to do it again because these people are not repenting. These people are not seeking God. They're not committing their life anymore. God's going to remove them, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. As I was walking on the earth this morning, I cannot find none of them. I didn't see no Achan. I didn't see none of the elder. I saw the children, my brother and sister. And this one was stunning to me because the Lord allowed me to go and try to find them on the earth. Because what I've done with the children of Israel, I'm going to do it again in the new earth. And as they were not found in the promised land, when the children enter, so it will be on the new earth. These people will not be found on the new earth the same. And all this whole chapter and the whole life of God leading the children of Israel into the wilderness of Moses was going through my mind from the Lord in the new earth this morning as I was walking there. Same thing that happens to them. These people, these fornicators like Esau, idolater, my brother and sister, God said he was going to destroy the seed of Esau. Hallelujah, because they were so wicked. They were so wicked. God's vengeance was on the seed of Esau. Look what God says to Moses. Now go lead the people to the place I have told you about. My messenger will go ahead of you. But when I punish, I will punish for their sins. So the Lord killed people because they have Aaron made them a calf. My brother and sister, if God would allow these people to continue from this day, this is the day the Lord has made. In this day, the Lord says, no more will they go before my presence. I'm going to remove them. I'm going to cleanse them from among my people. Because God will lead them among these people, the contamination of them. They will end up joining Joshua. They will end up going into the promised land. And the first thing coming into the promised land that they would have made was idols in every corner, in every house, in every building. And all the children of Israel, what they would learn was to worship other gods, my brother and sister. Because these people that worship other gods were refusing to repent. And what the God says about them, let me read it to you. Praise the Lord, O God Almighty. God said in Psalm 95:11, and this is why in my integrity took the solemn oath, they will never enter into my rest, Hebrew 3:11. So I angrily took a solemn oath that they would never enter into my rest, into my place of rest, Hebrew 4:3. Who will believe are entering at the place of rest, as God said so angrily, took a solemn oath that they will not enter into my place of rest. God says even though, hallelujah, he had finished his work when he created the world. Hebrews 4:5, God also said in the same passage, they will never enter my place of rest. My brother and sister. So when Moses went out to the mountain and they made God so angry, at that moment God made a solemn oath, they will not enter my rest. So this is why Joshua could not bring them yet into the land until one of them still take the wicked, the evil, that they should not have among them, my brother and sister, the spoil. I heard from someone a rabbi, who had read that they had taken the spoil before and God had allowed them. But in this situation, no, my brother and sister, because everything about the promised land, the division of the land, the dividing by the 12 tribe of Israel, has to be established in holiness, my brother and sister. And if you read it in Romans 11, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul explained. The foundation has to be holy. And God has to establish his people in holiness and righteousness as the Lord is holy. He is holy. So God cannot allow these people to enter. So this is why he allowed the enemy to come in and begin to kill them. And Joshua, when he saw them, threw himself, rent his garment, and began to cry out for them. But even while he was still doing this, the sword of the enemy was going among them, killing them. Because the people that they were killing were the elder, were the people that will refuse to commit their life to the Lord. And we see in some occasions that they're choosing Moses. They're choosing the Lord. And you think like, well, okay, that's fine. They're choosing the Lord. They're choosing Moses. But it's not wholeheartedly. And God is calling us to serve him wholeheartedly. Give all our heart to him. Not in part. In part, you won't make it in part. You're only going to make it when you give God all your heart. And this is what they missed to understand, that God was calling them to give their heart to him. And they thought that by choosing Moses, they would be fine. But God wanted them to choose him, not Moses. Yes, Moses, because Moses was his servant. But commit their heart completely to him. And at this point, my brother and sister, Joshua had chosen the Lord. Moses was up at 40 days, 49. Joshua was in the middle of the mountain praying. Joshua had chosen the Lord. My brother and sister in Caleb, they were totally committed to the Lord. But the rest of the elders, nah, they were not. The little children, yes. They word were being preached today. They were excited. Everything Moses and Joshua said, they were jumping up and down and celebrating. And they were saying, yes, we will keep the word of the Lord. We will keep the Lord, the word of the Lord, all my group all together. All the young ones, they were excited to see the hand of God. But these elders, they were the one that murmured. They were the one, oh, this Moses, who do he think he is? Moses brought us in the wilderness to perish, to die. They were about complaining and murmuring. These people were not repenting. Oh, you know, we are. You know who we are. They better respect us. Like the Pharisees cried. They murmuring and complained. Jesus turned around and said, ye have your father the devil, he says to them. And they're like, what in the world? What's going on here? They were murmuring and complaining. And Jesus turned around and said, ye have your father the devil and the will of him you want to do. He is posing right there. Hallelujah. Through Moses was the whole story going on. Jesus turned around and rebuked and said, yeah, your father the devil in John 8. My brother and sister, they came to criticize him. Jesus had just had a wonderful service. Hallelujah. John 8, 31, of the Jewish that had believed in him. He just had a bunch of people believing and come to him, confess him, and they were rejoicing and describing, and Pharisee were criticizing the whole thing because these people were not repenting. These was like those other ones in the wilderness murmuring and complaining. And Jesus turned around and said, gee up your father, the devil. My brother, he identified them quickly. He cannot let them go by because the newcomer that were there, the one that just gave him their life to Jesus, the one that he just had committed their life to the Lord, they needed to know, teacher, preacher, minister. And he turned around and pointed out to them, he said, gee up your father, the devil, and the will of him you want to do. Right there, the young one looking at him like, whoa, wow, what a revelation this is. and looking how Jesus, hallelujah, pointed to the Pharisee and scribe that they were the devil. Now they knew that they could not listen to what the Pharisee had to say. Stay away from the teachers of the Pharisee. A lot of people are following Pharisee and listening to Pharisee on the YouTube, on the Facebook and all that, listening to Pharisee and scribe. Be careful. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was staying next to you. He'll point to them and say, ye of your fire, the devil. Got to be careful who you are following, who you are listening. That is not of the devil, my brother and sister. Listen to this ring of Dana Coverstone. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, my brother and sister, it's an eye opening. Let me see if I can get it on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So you see, hallelujah, my brother and sister, that when that faith comes down from this minister, hallelujah, it was shocking to him, because you don't expect someone supposed to be a minister, hallelujah, the Lord did not only take the mask, he took everything of this thing to show, hallelujah, Brother Dana, hallelujah, what are preaching in America? What are in the pulpit, my brother and sister? He's taking it as a principality, hallelujah, as a demon. It's something that the Lord had me teach here for years that many people criticize me for. Oh, he's bringing false teaching. How can he say that they're principality and demon teaching on the altar? You're not listening to the Lord if you think so. Because let me tell you, when the Lord reveals you what's in the pulpit, you hallelujah, you have a tough time. I mean, it may give you belly pain, but you know what? It's better to know the truth. Hallelujah, because it's what's going to set you free. The truth will set you free, my brother and sister. You don't want to be believing the lies. Hallelujah. You want to know the truth. You got to pray for it. Lord, reveal me the truth, Lord. I don't want to be deceived. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to seek you, Lord. I want your will to be done in my life, Lord, and not the will of men. Thank you, Lord. You need to understand. Thank you, Jesus, what's happening in these last days. There are things in the pulpit that are not of God, and they're not human. They may look like human. They may have a fleshly frame covering them, my brother and sister, but what behind that mask, what behind the flesh is a demon of principality, teaching their own doctrine, hallelujah, from the pulpit, deceiving people, my brother and sister, in way, shape, and form that people cannot imagine. But this is, we're in the last day, and the Lord is revealing all these things. Hallelujah. Even to people that if he told them about it in a dream and a vision, they will not believe. He is just showing them, my brother and sister. He is just revealing it to them. They may have a tough time receiving it, but you know what? Hallelujah. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom the Son set free, it is free indeed. Thank you, Lord. Listen to it. Praise the Lord.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I want to thank you for joining me as I share a dream today. And I want to just give you a heads up on what you're about to. This is going to be a lot different than the way I usually do this. Next Friday, Cherie will be back with me, and we're going to actually go through and do a lot more of the interpretation, the ideas behind the dream. The whole point is we want this to be an opportunity for you to pray about it, to pray through it, to figure out what's going on with it, and see what the Lord tells you. And even, I know a lot of times when I'm doing the dream, someone's putting comments right there and right here. I'm asking you even to, you know, hold up. I know some of you won't, some of you will, but some of you, I'm asking you, don't even put any comments down. Make notes. Make notes on your own, and then pray about it and pray through it. I can tell you today that as of today, when I sat down just a little bit ago, I've spent about an hour and a half continuing to pray through the dream today. I have put 26 hours of prayer into this dream, into what it means, into what I believe it means, interpretation I believe that it has. And so I'm asking you to really pray about what you hear me say. And before you make comments or, oh, I think this and that, you know, whatever, I'm asking you to pray about it. Really pray about it, because the key to dream interpretation is the fact that God is the ultimate interpreter of the dreams, okay? And I may have insight in things and see things that you don't see. You may see things I don't see. So next Friday at noon, Cherie will be back home with me, and we're going to have a chance for you to chime in, chat in, and say, hey, here's what I think about this point or that point, okay? So I'm going to read the dream through. I'm going to read it through twice today. I'm just going to quickly read it through twice. I want you to pay attention to the key symbols, the key signs, the key things. I'm not going to say, here's what I think this means. We're not going to do any of that until next week. Once again, I'm just going to share the dream today, and I want you to pray about it. I mean, really pray about it. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom, understanding, insight into what the dream is. I think there's an obvious, and I do mean rather obvious, interpretation to this dream. There's no doubt about it what it means. But there's some key things in there, I think, that you need to look a little deeper, pray a little more about. And look, I've spent 26 hours in prayer over this dream. Sheree spent many hours in prayer over this dream. And by the time we get to next week, we'll spend even more time. So once again, I'm asking you simply to do this. Listen to the dream, make notes. And rather than chatter, rather than put your ideas out there today, pray about it. Because I know people said, when I put dreams out before, it's been like this. I put a dream out, and in 20 minutes after I'm done speaking it, I've got a three-page interpretation of what the dream is from people who have not prayed one bit. So now, if you've been praying about what the dream is, you don't know what the dream is, I've not shared it, but if you've been praying, Lord, give me insight, wisdom, that's one thing, okay? But I'm asking you to pray about it. I'm asking you to think about it. I'm asking you to work through it, basically in the same way that Sheree and I have. And if nothing else, maybe this will be a way to help some of you have a better understanding of dream interpretation, how it works, what it is. Because look, I've got a lot of learning. I've learned a whole lot. I have learned a whole lot about dreams in the last 2.5 years. And like I've said, I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in the prophetic world. I have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in the dreamer's world. And I'm telling you what, I've had a lot of criticism, a lot of hate, threatful emails, and I've gone through the mill. But I know when God speaks to me, I know when God shares a dream with me, and so I'm not out to prove anything. I'm just going to share the dream I have. Once again, I believe the interpretation is quite simple. However, there's a reason I use the word Halloween, and you'll see why. There's a reason why I call it this, because that plays a prominent role in the dream. So I'm calling it the Halloween dream. I had it Saturday night, October 15th, 2022, and here it is. I was running through a large parking lot, cars covered with Christian bumper stickers. I was running towards a very large church. The edifice of the church looked very large. I did not recognize the church, and I knew I was about 15 minutes late. I kept looking at my watch. Now, something you got to know about me, I am never late. I can't stand it. I almost have a nervous breakdown if I think I'm going to be late for something, okay? So I kept looking at my watch. I knew I was 15 minutes late. I got to the front door and started in when an usher in a vest marked usher, capital letters on the left side of their chest, and a guy in a vest marked usher said, "You're late." And I said, "I know," and I headed towards the sanctuary door. Several others approached me as I approached the door, and they reminded me that I was late. So I keep being told, "You're late, you're late, you're late, you're late, you're late." I kept saying, "I know," but with the intention of getting in the door. I got my hand on the door handle and started to pull to go into sanctuary when an usher came through the door towards me and told me I was late. So once again, I've got 5, 6, 8 people telling me, "You're late, you're late, you're late." This guy came through the door from the sanctuary to tell me that, okay? He shut the door behind him, and he blocked me from entering. He would not let me into the building. He stared and he glared in a very mean way, and he said, "It's too late to go in." In my spirit, I knew I had to get in there ASAP. I had to get in that room. I turned and I approached another door. I spun around and went to another door. And I was blocked from it by another usher. But this usher was wearing a Halloween costume like Raggedy Andy. Not Raggedy Ann and Andy. It had this Raggedy Andy look. And he had the mask on. Everyone wearing a costume had the plastic mask from the 70s that had the little strap, the elastic band that went behind the back. He had a Raggedy Andy face on. I asked him why he's wearing a costume, and he said, "I am not wearing a costume." And he went to spin around like he was going to show me what he was wearing, and when he did, I slipped into that sanctuary door. I took the nearest seat about 5 rows from the back of the sanctuary, and I could see I was about 30 rows from the front. Now, the man speaking from the pulpit was wearing a clerical robe, collar. I believe those are a key symbol there. Clerical robe, clerical collar, much like you might see in a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Anglican church, one of the more traditional churches, so to speak. And he was speaking about how to live as a Christian. He stated that the Ten Commandments are outdated in practice and in principle. He used that frame. They're outdated in practice and in principle, and that a new set of ideas was needed. And this got my attention, so I looked around to see the response from the congregation. It was then that I saw that most of that congregation was sitting there wearing Halloween costumes. I saw witches. I saw ghosts. I saw goblins. I saw superheroes. I saw Bob the Builder. There was a prominent number of people dressed like Bob the Builder. And I'm not talking kids. I'm talking adults. There were people wearing, and there were kids dressed up like adults, like adult jobs, like doctors and lawyers and people like that. But they were all Halloween costumes. They all had the plastic face with a little elastic band behind their neck. There were only a few people that were not costumed. And those people not wearing a costume, they looked very, 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 very uncomfortable with the words that the man was speaking. You could tell that their facial expressions, they were in the room, they were quiet, they were listening, they were subjected to what was going on, but they did not approve of it or like it, but they were sitting quiet. The man continued by saying that you should be able to do what you want, to do whenever you want to do it, and that grace is our friend and more than our foe. So he uses that word. He says, grace is your friend more than your foe. At this time, an usher grabbed my arm, kind of jerked me back, and told me to stop looking around, to sit still, and to pay attention. In the dream, I felt like I was a little kid being told by an adult to shut up, sit down, be quiet. And he placed a scarecrow costume in my lap, and he whispered for me to put it on. Basically like this, put it on. He walked away rather gruffly, stood by the back door, and I saw that a few of those not wearing costumes were giving me that, they were like, in other words, they were telling me, just go along with this, just do this, shh, quiet. I put the costume on the floor, and the guy came back and tried to stand me up and force me to put, he was going to actually try to dress me in this Halloween costume scarecrow outfit, okay? Now, nobody moved. Nobody moved around me. They were afraid to move. And I said, what kind of church is this? As the guy's trying to jerk me around, I said, what kind of church is this? Very, very loud. And the man on the platform yelled back towards the back row and said to me, he said, this is our church, and we make the rules around here. And I burst out of that man's grip, and I ran in front of the church, and I said, by questioning the Ten Commandments, you are violating the foundation of Scripture. And his reply was that we no longer needed Scripture to live right. We must allow culture to guide us. I then heard noise from the back of the sanctuary and turned to see the Jesus man had walked in the door. And he was walking down the aisle towards me. He didn't even look at me. He just walked right past me, and he said to the pastor, the person in the pulpit, he said, you can try to keep me out. You can discount my words, but I will not be silent or locked out. He walked right past me to that pulpit. He grabbed the speaker's face. He just walked up literally like this. He went, the Jesus man just grabbed the man and pulled the face off. What he was pulling off was a mask. He pulled off this mask. It was a mask the whole time. And now there was this very, very pale, demonic face that was revealed, and there were audible gasps in the sanctuary. People went, oh, like that. And the speaker tried to speak and point his finger at Jesus, and Jesus said, you will speak no more. And he breathed towards that person, and he disappeared in a wisp of smoke. Jesus then turned around to the crowd, and he said, as I expose the truth, you will be given the chance to take your mask off. If not, your circumstances will tear them from your face and take your eyes with them. You that know the word know better, and those that never studied my word will stay dressed in a costume and miss heaven because you chose to remain in ignorance. Even if you hide from the truth, it will confront you, and it will confront you to the front of your face. Imagery is very, very, very brought up quite a bit in this dream. Then he looked around right at me, and he said, it's not too late to warn the body, as there are still many that will hear it. But woe to those who refuse to listen at this point. As I turned to walk out of the sanctuary, it was still full of costumed people. More ushers had come to the back door and were saying it was time to go. And I saw people trying to leave through the doors, but they were struggling to get out. The ushers were literally trying to force them back in the sanctuary and keep them there. The people just pushed through. And then I noticed the aisle was full of costumes that were left on the ground. I also noticed there were a lot of seats that were empty where people had left, but the majority was still seated and masked. I began to run for the door, and not in the sense of I have to get out of here, but more to build up speed than knock the ushers out of the way. In other words, I knew I had to get through those men, and I was going to build up speed and hit them as hard as I could to get out because nothing was going to keep me in there. Crowd of about 50 people who were all grouped together. Collectively, they asked what they should do. And I said, he told us to warn the church. So we warned the church. We all ran in different directions as the sun was setting all around us. And that's another key thing. The sun was setting. I'd gone there in the morning late for church, but now the sun was setting. At that moment, the Mission Impossible theme song started, and I saw the image of that wick being lit. And that indicated to me that there was no time to waste. I saw one of the questions that was asked. Do I believe there are people who can gain the sense of the dream immediately? Yes, I do. I know there's others that have to pray through it and pray about it. I know there are some that will never pray, and they'll get all sorts of crazy ideas. As I told you, folks, the reason I'm doing it this way today, Sheree and I both feel this was important. We want to be able to maybe use this as a lesson, as a teaching opportunity. Because there are things I see in the dreams now I didn't see then. There are events that have happened through some of the certain dreams that have gone on that make a lot of sense now, more so than they did. And so one of the things about this is that I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to spend some time on your knees. And next Friday when Sheree and I come on and when we get through certain parts of it, she'll say some things, I'll say some things, and we want you to chat in and say, here's what I think about this. Because some of you folks are going to see things that I won't see. Some of you will see things that Sheree doesn't see. Even with the both of us, I will see things that she doesn't see, and she sees things that I don't see. Sometimes I'll see the political stuff. There's something that, to me, that is the key, is the whole thing about the face. So go through what I've said. Share with me. Share the symbols, the things that seem and obviously there's some pretty obvious truth. We've got to take the time we have to share the gospel. And the sun is setting, so hey, he's coming back soon. We don't have a whole lot because Paul said, "Work while it's yet day." So I'm gonna read through it one more time. As I said, I'd read it through twice. Pay attention to the key sign. And somebody said, "Well, why don't you just type it out and put it on here?" Every time I've done that in the past, people take away, add things. I've seen a one-page dream become a 12-page dream. I just don't do that. I put these into a book form. It'll be coming out probably November, December. It's got all the dreams. It's got a chapter that I wrote specifically on Pentecost and how Pentecost influences the dreams and then even the interpretation of dreams. I'm just going to say honestly, I've got confidence in Pentecostal people who will listen to the Holy Spirit when it comes to dreams and visions. Not that I don't trust others, not that at all. But I will lean more towards people who are spirit filled when it comes to interpretation, whether it's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all those things, or even tongues interpretation. Even at that, I lean towards those folks. So I'm gonna read it one more time, once again, paying attention to the symbols, the key symbols, and then we'll go from there, okay? I was running through a large parking lot filled with cars covered with Christian bumper stickers. I was running towards a large church I did not recognize, and I knew I was about 15 minutes late. Why 15 minutes? I don't know. I just know I was late. And once again, I am never late. It drives me nuts to be late. I mean, it just drives me nuts. I kept looking at my watch. I got to the front door, and I started in, and immediately an usher in a vest marked usher came in and said, "You're late." I said, "I know," and I headed towards the sanctuary door. Several others approached me as I approached the door and reminded me that I was late, almost as if they were distracting me. Several others approached once again and said that. I kept saying, I know I'm late, but I've got to get in. So my intention was, get in the door. I got my hand on the door handle, started to pull, when an usher came through from the inside, the other side, and basically told me I was late. He shut the door behind him and wiggled in front, basically. He blocked me from entering. He stared and he glared like he was angry that I was there, and he said, it's too late to go in, but I knew I had to get in there. Something inside of me said, get in the sanctuary. I turned and I approached another door. I moved to my left and went to the left to get in the door. So I had to get in there. And another usher that was wearing a Halloween costume, he looked just like Raggedy Andy. It was Raggedy Andy. It was a guy. It was Raggedy Andy. I asked him why he was wearing a costume, and he said, I'm not wearing a costume. And he went to spin around to kind of show me, I guess, and I just slipped around and went in that door. And I took the nearest seats, about five rows from the back of the sanctuary, and I could see about 30 rows ahead of me. It was a large church. The man speaking from the pulpit was wearing a clerical robe and a collar, and I think that's the key thing. He was speaking about how to live as a Christian. He stated the Ten Commandments are outdated, both in practice, and that a new set of ideas was needed. And this got my attention, so I looked around to see the response from the congregation. It was then that I saw the majority of that congregation was all wearing Halloween costumes, which is goblins, ghosts, scarecrows. I saw superheroes, and a bunch of the adult men were wearing like Bob the Builder costumes. I didn't say that actually in the text, but that's what I saw, a lot of Bob the Builder costumes, okay? There were only a few people who were not costumed, and they all looked very uncomfortable with the words the man spoke. The man continued by saying that you should be able to do what you want to do whenever you want to do it, and that grace is our friend more than our foe. And at this time, an usher grabbed my arm and told me to stop looking around, to sit still and pay attention, and then he placed a scarecrow costume in my lap and whispered for me, he's like, put it on. Put it on. Away gruffly, and I saw that a few of those not wearing costumes were giving me that quiet down symbol with their eyes. They were doing that like to keep me to keep watching. No, they had the Raggedy Andy eyes, the plus signs. I put the costume on the floor, and the guy was right back. He tried to stand me up. He was going to force me to put it on in front of everybody. Nobody moved around me as I said, and I said out loud, what kind of church is this? And the man on the platform said loudly, this is our church, and we make the rules around here. And I burst out of that man's grip, and I ran to the front of the church, and I said, by questioning the Ten Commandments, you are violating the foundation of Scripture. His reply was that we no longer need a Scripture to live by, live right, but we must allow culture to guide us. I then heard noise from the back of the sanctuary and turned to see the Jesus man walking down the aisle towards me. And he's addressing the man on the platform. He says, you can try to keep me out. You can discount my words. But I will not be silent or locked out. He walked past me. He never looked at me. He never looked at me when he was walking towards the front. He got up on the platform and he grabbed the man's face that was preaching. He literally grabbed his face and he pulled it off, which was a mask the whole time. And now this pale demonic face was revealed, and there were audible gasps in the sanctuary. People were like that when they saw the face. And the speaker tried to speak, but Jesus said, "You will speak no more." With a right finger pointed at him, and then Jesus breathed towards the demoniac. And he disappeared in a wisp of smoke. Jesus then turned to the crowd and said, as I expose the truth, you'll be given the chance to take your mask off. If not, your circumstances will tear them from your face and take your eyes with them. You that know the word know better, and those that never studied my word will stay dressed in a costume and miss heaven because you chose to remain in ignorance. And even if you hide, from the truth, it will confront you, and it will confront you to the front of your face. So once again, the face idea is coming out promptly in the dream. Then he looked right at me, and he addressed me, and he said, it's not too late to warn the body, as there are still many that will hear it. But woe to those who refuse to listen at this point. As I turned to walk out of the sanctuary, it was still full of costumed people. More ushers had come back in the back door and were saying it was time for me to go. I saw people trying to leave through the doors, but they were struggling to get out as the ushers were trying to force them back in. And the people just pushed through. And then I noticed that the aisle was full of costumes left on the ground, that people had taken their costumes off and they were headed out. I also noticed there were a lot of empty seats where people had left, but the majority was still seated and masked. I started to run for the door, and once again, this is not in a fleeing sense like I'm scared. I was trying to build up speed so that if they were going to try and keep me in, so I had to build up speed to knock the ushers out of the way because they tried to stop me. When I got to the parking lot, I stopped running, so I ran all the way from the church through that foyer and outside. And there was a crowd of about 50 people who were all grouped together, and collectively they said, "What should we do?" And I said, "He told us to warn the church, so we warned the church." And we all ran in different directions, and I saw the sun was setting all around us. And at that moment, literally, the Mission Impossible theme music started, and I saw the image, the original 60s, you know, early 60s thing of that wick being lit. It indicated to me that there was no time to waste. So, the Jesus man was dressed more like Jesus of the New Testament time frame. The robes, he wasn't in a suit and tie, he wasn't in a jacket, he was in a robe. Again, we're not going to do any interpretation today. I ask you to pray, think about it, ask the Lord to give you wisdom and understanding. Next Friday at noon, Cherie will be back all week with me. I can't talk. Cherie will be back on with me. What we're talking about, we're going to go through each of these and we'll give some interpretation. We also want to see what you folks think about this and that and certain items. And so pray about the symbols that you see. Pray about the things that you sense. And then share what God shows you about the dream. Because what we want to do is we want to help people do better at this too. I've gained a lot of wisdom in talking with Cherie and other people in that community. I also have had people just send me an interpretation. It's like, wow, I never saw that. So folks, realize and understand that we can all help see what this is, and you're going to see things I don't see. I'm going to see things you don't see. So once again, we're going to do something we've never done with this dream. I think the obvious interpretation is, yeah, we got to confront the crazy stuff in the church. Nope, only the one usher. It was just one usher dressed like Raggedy Andy, but they all had vests on that said usher, capital letters. And the letters were red. It was like a gray background, like a gray badge with a red background. And I was late, and I'm never late. I am never late for anything. One time in my life, I've been late for a meeting, and I literally almost have a nervous breakdown. I think I'm going to be late. And I'll explain that next week, but none of that. So pray about it. Think through it. Bring the things that you have to the table. Let the Lord show you some things and help us also understand. And obviously, false teachings are going to be exposed. But pray about it, pray about it, pray about it, and see what the Lord says. And next Friday, we'll all get together, and we'll do it for that perspective. See what it says to you, all right? Hey, folks, thanks again for being a part of what we're doing here. We may not never do this again like this. We both felt it was important. It's obvious. The obvious reason, the obvious interpretation of this dream is obvious, okay? But there's some details that we really need to pay attention to. So pay attention, pray through, and bring back your ideas next week, all right? Hey, thanks for being a part of this, and we'll see you.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Thank you for being with me. Today, I am going to put up one of basically two prophecies that have to deal with Kamala Harris and how this woman is integrated into the system that I have been speaking of for many years here, the beast system. The Lord has revealed since years back that America will be the seat of the beast. And you can read more about that in Daniel chapter 7 and also in Revelation chapter 17, where if you study those chapters, you can actually see the emergence of a carefully structured society that is part of a one world governmental structure, a global governing structure that, for better or worse, and mostly for worse, is not going to look anything like the government structures that we are used to. Some countries, when that system comes to them, they may be much more familiar with that type of governance because it is a very centralized form of government. It is a form of government in which the government does not dispense power and autonomy to independent counties and states. Everything will be managed from a core, and that core is the seat of the beast. So democratic countries that are used to involving the people in procedures like voting, involving the people in procedures like memorandums, involving the people in procedures like surveys and things like that to keep a pulse on the population and to keep them integrated into the whole, they're not used to that kind of thing. And America is not only not used to that kind of thing, she is extremely vocal. She is extremely opposed to that kind of thing. America has very particular laws that protect personal freedoms here. And the reason that the Lord has brought forth this prophecy, which I just put up maybe even 2 hours ago, the reason that the Lord has brought forward this prophecy for today is because the United States of America needs to understand that being under judgment from God carries some very particular things. So it carries the loss of privileges. It carries the loss of protection. Excuse me, please. Wow. It carries the loss of position. It carries the loss of influence. And this is why when I'm bringing forth these prophecies, I'm always very clear, because it seems we have a coalition of people, not only in America, but around the world, who seem convinced that because they don't have the stamina to continue on with life, they don't have the stamina, nor do they have the wherewithal to build up the fire of their faith, to obey the words of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where the fruit of the Spirit is listed. We always talk about the love and the joy and the peace part, but it's very hard now to hear sermons and teaching on building up the fruit of endurance, building up, cultivating, and learning how to submit to patience, building up and learning how to benefit from self-control. Here in America, we are watching the distressing rise of singular madness. They're going to keep calling it mental health issues as people chop up other people and put them in the freezer just so other nations can know what's going on here. They're going to keep calling it mental health issues when people are serial killers, when people are mass murdering children and then killing themselves, and the police are left staring at maybe 8 to 10 bodies with no explanations, taking families hostage, taking them somewhere and shooting them. These crimes, they keep being called senseless in the news, but to those who are spiritual people, studying people, listening people who are staying linked to the Lord, people who are praying, people who are receiving information and guidance from the Heavenly Father, we know that we have entered into an accelerated time of spiritual madness. And so America will not be spared. She's going to lose her position. She's going to lose her influence. She's going to lose her power. And so this group that is many millions strong in this country who truly believe that because they are fainting wallflowers, that God owes them some kind of Speedy Gonzales ending, he's just going to roll up everything and give them like a 2-week nuclear war and a 5-minute this, and then suddenly rapture time. I really can't minister to those people anymore. To do that would be disingenuous and extremely unfair to the other people who soberly read the Word of God. There's so many mature Christians out there who have been reading the Word of God before I knew my ABCs. They know how this thing goes, and they know that it is a marathon and not a sprint. And so if you're fainting and you don't stop by Jesus' well, you don't stop by his gas station to fill your tank, it's going to be a very trying time for you, because God says that America will be crumbling like a cliff face that is going to be eaten away by the water until her final collapse. And so the prophecy from the Master's Voice today, October the 8th, is called Kamala Harris and the Beast, and it will be looking at how this woman, again, is part of the ushering in of the end times beast system. So God has been talking about this woman a lot. God has been talking about Barack Obama a lot. God has been talking about Donald Trump a lot. And it's not because God is interested in the political machinations of America. He's truly not. God is kingdom-minded above all things. And since America is a kingdom that has already been written in the books as something that will be completely wiped away, I know many people, they're asking, when you say completely, do you mean partway? I keep saying this country, the punishment upon the land mass is that it shall be removed from the sight of God. Since this is a continent and it can't vaporize into the sky, there's only one more place for this place to go, and that is under the sea. If you have heard of the city called Atlantis, that is America's ending. You may like it, you may not like it, you may dispute it, you may do all the things you want to do. But since I am finishing, all I have to say is, as Atlantis went under the sea, America is going to follow. Kamala Harris and the Beast, October the 8th, 2022. And as I started to write this prophecy, I was halfway through transcribing it from notes, and the Lord said, Kamala Harris is going to delete everything America looks like and replace it with a new thing. So I'm halfway through, like an hour and a half through, and then he says that, and that is what the banner is for today. So when God keeps bringing a thing and bringing a thing, Donald Trump, Obama, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, is not because he's interested in how America cares about her political people. He's stressing a point. He's saying this is pending and important information, so you should pay attention. It's kind of a verily, verily, I say unto you thing. And when this stuff is pressing upon my spirit every day, a new prophecy, I will not publish every single thing that he says. It just means that a point is being driven home. And there's another prophecy with many small snippets of things that he said. So I will link that in the description, and then I don't have to make a video for it. Kamala Harris came up a lot in 2020, towards the end of the year. I dreamt of this woman saying that she's the president of the United States, and I was thinking, lady, you're not a president, you're not on the ticket, nobody's paying attention to you, you're staple to Joe Biden, so what do you mean? And when I woke up, the Lord would say things like, this is Kamala's election. When Biden enters that White House, he's taking two people with him, Kamala Harris and Barack Obama. And now, 3 years have passed, and God has widened the scope and revealed the things he was talking about. And so here's the dream. I dreamt that Kamala Harris was making a speech on TV. It was a very important speech. The nation had been already told that this big speech was coming up. And so it's a nationwide address, and it was being simulcast all over the world. So other nations was paying attention. However, here's the strange thing. This woman was not speaking English. She was speaking a language that came upon my heart as Tamil. Now, in the dream, I didn't know what Tamil is, but it was very clear to me that she was speaking Tamil. The whole speech was in Tamil, not English. And the first question upon my heart observing her in the dream is, why are you talking to us in a language that we don't understand? Why are you addressing us in something that we don't speak at all? What is this Tamil? And since it's not the majority language of America or the majority language of most of the other nations, why is such an important speech being broadcast in Tamil? But I was hearing the speech in English, and even though she was saying many things, here is the part that I remember. Kamala Harris said this: why have you followed and emulated the United States? Why have you followed and copied America in your ways? America is under judgment. America is about to be judged. All who are like her in her ways, her sins, her evil, you will be judged along with her. To the very extent that you have copied her, God will judge you. If you have any laws like America, unjust laws, immoral laws, unrighteous laws, God will punish you the same way he punishes America. To the extent that you copied her, if you have tolerance for sin and other forms of immorality in your society or in your legal system especially, you will be judged by God. I am Kamala Harris. I am the U.S. president. I am telling you the facts of the matter. This nation is under judgment. And to the extent any nation has accepted her evil and copied her actions, they will be judged also. So if I remember nothing else, that's what I remember. A speech in a foreign language. And saying that America is judged and that anybody who copies America will be judged by God. And she was speaking as much to America to tell us that we are under God's judgment as much as she was addressing foreign nations. So foreign nations, you have homosexuality on the books. You are calling it not a sin. It's a preference now. It's decriminalized. South Africa, looking at you and other nations in the EU, it's not a sin. You have marriage, same-sex marriage on the books. In some cases, it's full marriage. In other cases, it's civil union. Some countries, you are breaking down long-standing taboo about men being transgender. You now have men in dresses. Nigeria, looking squarely at you. Men who are becoming social media booming stars, likes, clicks, followers. You were not raised this way, but now you have started following men in drag, popularizing them, praising them, whoever this Bob Risky is. You think that God will applaud you? This woman who serves Satan in the dream was saying that this nation that I am sitting in the United States of America is already rejected by God. It is a nation that is going to reap the full whirlwind of Revelation 18. And in Revelation 18, it says all the merchants that traded with Babylon and all the kings of the earth stood afar off and they wailed, watching as her judgments came upon her in 1 hour. Well, God is letting everyone know that in as much as you put abortion on the books, African countries and South American countries that have allowed these U.S. and other foreign NGOs to come in and start advocating for abortion in your nations. You copied those laws. You have started to relax your legal protocols and call abortion healthcare. You have started to allow many pride parades in many territories of the earth. You will be judged to the full extent of America's sin that you have accepted, that you have opened the gates, that you have received. And so this is what this servant of the beast was saying in her strange language, but God translated it for me in English. The dream changed, and I saw this woman was writing on top of the U.S. Constitution. And may the citizens of this nation please listen, because this part, you are going to hate it. This part, you are going to see it, even if you hate it. I saw her sitting at that same desk that I've seen Joe Biden sit at, that same desk that President Donald Trump sat at. It's some desk that they sit at on the first day, and they bring them a lot of new laws, and they bring in them a lot of bills that have been voted on and everything, and it just needs now the executive signature to pass. And those two presidents have sat there, you know, they'll sign, and then they'll give the pen to somebody as, you know, keepsake, and then they'll get a new pen and they'll keep signing. Well, nobody was bringing Kamala Harris any documents to sign. She had the Constitution of the United States. It wasn't in any kind of climate-controlled box. It wasn't surrounded by sheet glass. It wasn't preserved or protected in any way. She had the raw document in front of her, and she was making corrections and changes, and in some cases, she was completely getting rid of certain provisions. And I saw cabinet members, and I saw cabinet ministers, I saw official staff surrounding her exactly the way they've surrounded other male presidents in the past. And these people all saw what this woman was doing, that she was desecrating the U.S. Constitution. She was making solo executive changes directly on the document, and not a single person said a word. I saw that some of the older men who have been in government for so long that their hair has turned gray, they were stunned looking at what this woman were doing. Their eyes were so big that it was almost comical, like watching how the cartoons are surprised, like doom. Their eyebrows were raising up to the top of their head, and yet everybody was mute. All mouths were shut. And she didn't even see their reaction. She didn't even look up. She was busy doing what she was doing, editing the Constitution, making corrections and alterations. And in some cases, she scratched out stuff very vigorously with a big black pen. I've spoken about this black pen. You can find out more about it in one of the old prophecies about this woman that is called A Broken Rule of Law, where I saw her with a thick black felt marker, and she was scribbling and making alterations and Xing out whole passages of the Constitution. I spoke in a recent video that is called Brace for Impact, that I saw Kamala Harris holding a black marker like a wand. Now, from where I'm sitting, we write from left to right like this. Well, she was waving the marker from right to left as if writing backward. And as she was doing this on the Constitution, the words, the letters were flying off the thing. It was like she was unwriting it with her marker. What is coming to my heart to tell you right now is that you should remember the part of the book of Daniel where it says that the coming fierce king, the king of fierce features, the son of perdition, one of the things he will do is he will think to change the times and laws. America, you're in that season and you don't even recognize it. You've got laws that don't protect children. The children are becoming the new hot performers at the drag shows. You've got laws that say that even if he's 6'8", if he feels like a woman, then he is. He can identify as anything he wants, use the opposite gender bathroom, scare and endanger women, strip off, put a swimsuit on, jump into the pool, smash all the records, win all the awards, and it's okay. There was some state where I think it's hockey, and the girl said that they were not comfortable because they had one trans male. The school responded by banning all the females from the female locker room so that the man in a bra could stay in the locker room and be comfortable. Think to change the times and laws simply means to reverse all that is normally known in statehood and put stuff in there that we've never, ever seen before in the history of nations. And so here is the amendment that this lady crossed out. She crossed it out completely. I mean, she scratched it out. She blotted it out until it was just a black scratched area. Amendment 2 is what it kept being called in this dream. Amendment 2. Now I know it's the Second Amendment, but it was referred to as Amendment 2. And here's one of the announcements that was being played all the time in that time when this Second Amendment will be gotten away with. It will be removed completely. It will not be there. Please hear me. I'm not speaking of something that will happen today or next week. That's what prophecy is. It is speaking forth the times to come as revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. Here is one of the announcements that was playing on that future AI voice. Amendment 2 is hereby revoked by United States federal laws and ordinances. Amendment 2 shall henceforth and from this moment no longer apply in any of the United States territories and states here party to the U.S. Constitution. Amendment 2 is now outlawed. It is now illegal to possess any items previously guaranteed, protected, or referred to in U.S. Constitution, Amendment 2. Now, please excuse the noise. Now, these kinds of announcements will be very common in the way the beast system will be done. it will be very, very common. We will be hearing a lot of information given publicly on a loop through multimedia, through screens, through audio advertising, just the way they announce that the train is coming or that a plane is landing at Terminal 2, Terminal 5. It will be like that. We will be listening to a lot of programming announcements and changes through this speaking AI. And the point of that, I have videos that explain very excellently what the point of the AI is, so I won't go into that. The point of this AI is basically to wear down your inner muscle. It is to wear down your ability to think properly and to say no, because as long as constant announcements are being made, whether you consciously feel, I don't believe this, I don't agree with it, your subconscious, its job is just to record sound. So it simply records everything that you say. And then when you fall asleep or when you go into times of repose and rest, you are at the mercy of your subconscious because it plays for you in your sleeping, vulnerable state everything that you have heard. So your conscious mind can say no, but the way that people are worn down is because if you constantly expose them to a playing loop, in their conscious waking state, they begin to do this. Well, it's not so bad. Well, at least they're not taking this and that away from us. And that is how you get people to cross the party line and do things like take the harm versus harm. You simply announce it to them, announce it to them, announce it to them, because these people that do these things understand the human psyche very well, sometimes even better than the humans themselves. And so, the Second Amendment, to those who are foreign and don't understand, it's a simple sentence that protects America by giving her the right to form militias. In case the government goes rogue, the Second Amendment says that people can rise up and get rid of that rogue government. They have the right to bear arms. They have the right to protect their property from unlawful search and seizure, from bear attacks, human attacks, thieves coming on the property, a corrupt government that tries to do overreach, and everything else under the sun. It's one sentence that says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But in that future that I am speaking to now, the one that we already set our feet on, an unmovable path since 2020, Amendment 2 is not going to be a part of U.S. life. They're going to revise it. They're going to re-revise it. They're going to revise it some more. They're going to amend it further. They might take out one word in 1 year and then two more words in the second year. They're going to erode that simple sentence piece by piece. They're going to make new laws on top of it that make certain parts of the Second Amendment inoperable or useless, prohibiting this part of it or that part of it until one day the amendment will be functionally useless. And then they will take it away altogether. Amendment 2 will become a crime for which, if you are caught breaking it, meaning that if you are part of any militia and you're caught, if you are part bearing any arms or you're caught, you can lose your life under the new treason laws that are coming to America. And God was telling me, this part was when I woke up, God was telling me that the laws for treason in this country are going to be amended and stretched so far that they will cover a large body of crimes. I've been saying that they will tell you that your eyebrows are too full and that you are breaching the hair law, and then they just jail you for an unimaginable amount of time. They will create new criminal subsets that have never existed before. It will be a micromanaging society, and in order to exist in that society, a lot of people are going to turn snitch. So if we're seeing that corporations are now amending terms of service and they're giving themselves so much extra power, like what PayPal has recently done, then don't be deceived that this government that also operates exactly like a corporate entity cannot do the same. They can and they will do the same, because I've seen many times, and even in this dream, I saw that America became a land known for an endless number of crimes against this state. They will start to talk about America in that time as if she's a real person. The state will be spoken about as if she's a woman that has feelings that can be hurt, as if she's a woman or a small child that can be endangered, instead of being an intangible entity made up of us, the human beings. We are the ones who can be hurt by wrong laws. We are the ones who can be endangered by wrong laws. But America will be spoken about as if she is the victim of her own people and crimes, please listen, of things that you have only read in books. I have only read in books. They will be real crimes. Crimes of thought will exist. I've said this before because I've seen it. And here's an example. If you buy a book by an author who is known to have strong views about things like civil rights and freedom, personal liberty, the right to congregate, the right of free speech, if you buy any book or found in possession of any book by a writer who says things like this, the rights of the people is draped in the flag of freedom and soaked in the blood of her warriors. If you get a book that has sentences like that in it, you will be accused of incitement if you speak of what you read in that book to other people, and you will be accused of sedition if you are caught in possession or ownership of that book. So if you share what you read in that book to anyone else, and that person agrees with you and then repeats what you told them to a third person, and the third person happens to be a snitch or someone of loose lips who goes and repeats it to a fourth person who's a snitch, or maybe the third person and the second person are heard speaking that the first person has that book, even if they agree, if any of you are caught along the chain, you will be in trouble. If anyone along the chain of conversation reports you, you will be accused of having thoughts and intents that are anti-statist and dangerous, and you can be punished severely or even killed for that. Incarceration will actually be one of the milder punishments in those days. More and more as the beast system establishes herself, death will be the deterrent that they used. And in an upcoming prophecy, I will speak about how I saw that in those days, people were taken away and we never heard of them again. And yet their status in society was never updated to, this person has died. We were simply told that this person was in indefinite detention. And even if 25 years or 5 years passed and we never saw that person again, it was never said with closure, this person was put to death for this. We simply never saw them again, and they were said to be on indefinite detention. So the Lord says that the beast system is a draconian world of authoritarian measures. Simplified, all those words mean that America, who constantly calls other countries regimes, will become the greatest regime ever seen, worse than Russia, worse than China, worse than anybody who currently exists. No conversation will be tolerated. You will not be given any leave to a lawyer, a state of appeal. They're going to break down and remove all that stuff and replace it with a very highly monitored and well-organized state project. God says it will be a government-run project that focuses on centralized power. That's right. All this thing of the states can make their laws and the individual counties and mayors and governors, all that stuff is going to go away. Even U.S. territories. I'm speaking to Trinidad, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Haiti, everybody who is connected to this country and under her current control. God says that there will be uniform laws, the same laws, the same rules throughout all U.S. territories. States will not be making any laws. And additionally, when I was writing this prophecy, the Lord said to tell Puerto Rico and Mexico that you are going to face many troubles because of this, your neighbor, America. Appointed officials that have very far-reaching powers, almost unlimited powers. These people can just make decisions on a dime without having to check, the ones at the very top. They will be sent on a regular basis to visit every area of the nation. Their job will be to oversee all the projects that are being undertaken to build up the New World Order, all the changes that are unique to setting up and rolling out this beast government. America does not currently practice centralized power. She has a federal system, but there's tons of autonomy. Omaha doesn't have to do anything that New York is doing. Florida doesn't have to do a single thing that another state is doing. But states will lose their freedom to make individual laws. So one thing that was coming, the Lord was putting this on my heart, that all this celebration of row, row, row your boat. This thing is a farce. This thing is your farce. And I might as well say, I've been seeing babies in the early morning being killed by what is called a stamp. People who make shoes, they know what a stamp is. A stamp is some kind of metal machine that has a section that is an automated arm. So it's like a rod. And I think when you're making the shoes and you want to really get the heel to stick to the rest of the shoe, here's the thing, you put the shoe on it, and then the stamp comes down like this and hits the shoe a couple of times, very hard to get it to stay glued to the rest of the shoe. I have been seeing conveyor belts with little children alive on the belt coming down, and when it gets to that stamp, the thing hits them right in this area where the rib cage is. And that is the end of the children. It comes out bleeding, and then this body continues down the conveyor belt and falls off out of sight. So I can't even see where the bodies are going. But I have covered in many other prophecies where those bodies go. They go for food. They go for enterprise as commercial stuff that can be sold. So I've been seeing the end of children in this country, and the Lord just says that if you think these false and fake overtures that the government makes towards the citizens of this nation, if you think that you can count those things as real victories, that Roe is overturned, then you're very deceived, because nobody's stopping abortion pills from coming to the house. And in fact, they are streamlining the killing of these children, making it ever more efficient. And all that happened a few months ago was a farce. I have seen the killing of children. I have seen the putting of children into that thing where you put meat into it, then you put it on, and ground beef comes out the other end. In my mind, the word that comes to me is gristle mill, gristle mill. God says that America is a gristle mill for the born and the unborn, a relentless machine that chews up life and spits it out the other end with no shame and no repentance. And so, centralized power, there will be a central state that has all the power, and all the states will make the same laws. No more individualism, no more we're against this and we're hanging on to our guns and abortion is outlawed. One law to bind them all. That is how it will be. And God said there will even be a schedule of duties. This is something that will be published where every state is supposed to check up with that schedule or duty of duties, like a register. Every state, it is the responsibility of every state to check up with that schedule to make sure that they're up to date on everything the schedule says that they should have. So if they say that there is too much carbon emissions and anyone who goes over a certain number, their heat should be turned off, and everybody else does it, and then Hawaii forgets, and then they find out that certain people who are above their carbon emissions still have heat, when the overseer, the North Korean style prefect, comes to check up in that area and finds that why is your heat usage high, and then they narrow it down to region and they narrow it down to house, then Hawaii will face severe fines, penalties, and taxes. This is a system of severe fines, penalties, and taxes for individuals and for states. So the states will be required to send money to the central government as fees. So even if you're not being fined for breaking any of the central schedule of duties, states are going to be sending money to the central government. They're going to be sending special taxes to the central government, exactly like in the old days where there were the rich people and then the poor people called the serfs, working on what is known as a fiefdom. These were fights. They were working on the land, and then they would have to give a portion to the rich person as their tax. Well, it was feeling in my soul exactly like that medieval system, and I was stunned that God is telling me about something that is hundreds and hundreds of years outdated and yet coming back to us. And God says that Kamala Harris will be the face of these changes. So when you see that face coming in and all the feminists are breaking open the champagne, and he said this as far back as November 2020, that when you see this woman, know that you are stepping into the era of the beast. She is actually the handmaid of the NW final letter, but she's not the beast himself. The beast has been clearly laid out as a system and a man. And you can find out more right in the scripture by reading Revelation 13 and Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 to 28. The beast is a kingdom. And this kingdom cannot be resisted by people who are stressed out, frustrated, crying, or saying that the videos on this channel are a lie. Personal responses change nothing because these things are end times prophecy. The Bible clearly says that this kingdom will rise. The Bible clearly says that he will trample the residue with his feet. The Bible clearly says that he will be given power over the holy people to defeat them until the time that the Ancient of Days arises and judges in favor of his people. These things were written before YouTube were invented. So imagine having outbursts and thinking that they will take away eternal ancient words that must come to pass before ever we see our Lord's face. The beast kingdom has a throne. It has a seat of power. And Revelation 17 describes very clearly that the seat of that power is Mystery Babylon. Just a moment, please. Mystery Babylon is called, among her many names, the city by the sea. And the scripture in Revelation 17 explains that that sea actually refers to multiples of mixed peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues. Mystery Babylon is the one who has the spirit of a harlot, prostitute spirit, a great city that is said in Revelation 17 to rule over all the kings of the earth. And so I will link the text of this prophecy below so that you can read it. I highly recommend reading it so that you can find out about the horn that was waging war against the holy people and defeating them. That horn is already here in the United States and is just waiting for the time when he will come forth. We thank the Lord for his word. I certainly do thank him. I certainly thank him for the honor of privileged of trusting me with these things. These are end times things, important things, and they are just not given carelessly by the Lord. So I really thank him for trusting me with them. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. God bless you, and until I see you again, goodbye. Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To old and new subscribers alike, you are very welcome. Today, the prophecy is from September 18, 2022, so it would be almost a month old, and I have been making reference to this prophecy for quite a while. The title of the prophecy is Settle the Accounts of Men, and the reason I've been referring to this prophecy in recent weeks is twofold. It's because one of them is dealing with a very serious topic that, to be honest, it's not touched on enough in church. In church, we get an extremely unbalanced presentation of the gospel. It always seems to focus on the victory, 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 and as a result, it produces one-sided expectations in people because it's not focusing on the duality of what Scripture actually teaches. Scripture teaches that we serve a victorious God who will do victorious things, and he shall lead a victorious people into the end times, through the end times, and into his glorious kingdom. But at the same time, Scripture teaches that life will be lost because of what the end times are. So the end times are the final times. This is the time when God is bringing balance to all things. That is why the Lord gave this prophecy the name, Settle the Accounts of Men. How do you settle the accounts of men? Well, actually, you take that man and you weigh that man in the balance. What has this man done in his life? His good, his evil. God will make a final estimation about the righteousness of souls. And when the soul is found to be unrighteous, that soul will not be allowed to enter into eternal fellowship with God. And so, because these things are not touched upon in church, many Christians have this one-sided expectation. And I'll just speak on it. You know, I'll bring a prophecy about war, and then there'll be this weird response like, cheer up, saints. In the end, we know he's good to his church. And I'm thinking, do people actually understand what war is? And this word came from the Lord when he was bringing prophecy about how people will flee a civil war that comes here. Have you ever seen the trash people go on strike for just like 2 weeks, how much trash builds up in the neighborhood? And then have you ever thought to extend that for 2 or 3 years, how much trash builds up in a nation that is at war, that sanitation services break down, the cops break down, all protective services like fire and all medical services break down? Do people really have an appreciation of, for instance, what war does to a country? How much it guts a nation when there is no food? How many people, especially those dwelling in cities, are dependent upon supply chains and trucks that roll in at night and stock their shelves neatly? And because this is such a modern country, a highly automated country, when everything that is dependent on power, that is dependent on Wi-Fi, that is dependent on computers go down, do you know how vast and empty this continent will be when you suddenly realize how far it is to walk to your mother in Wisconsin from Chicago? Many times we don't sit and allow the word of God to percolate past our ears and past the general, oh, this is prophecy, to actually let us know what God is saying. And so this prophecy is called Settle the Accounts of Men, and quite plainly, it is dealing with the question of death. Death that is never spoken about in church. It's always about David's victories and not about the devastation that David went through when Jonathan died, for instance, or when Saul died. And so God is talking about the fact that he sovereignly is going to rebalance this earth. This is something that the Father has been saying to me for quite a time. And I said it recently in a video that I made concerning the church, where God says that he is sending his wind. He said to tell the church that when you see people passing away in your midst, it is not any devil, that he, the Lord, has sent a wind. And one of the things that wind will do is it will take away the empty vessels. This is just the false Christians. But it's also people who imagine themselves to be rooted Christians, but the roots don't go down deep enough. The Lord said that he is not going to hand over members of his church with a ribbon and a bow on them to Satan, because leaving them here to go through the trials and the tests of the end times means that those people will surely cross the party line, go over to Satan, take the mark, and cancel themselves out, forever seeing his face. And so he is going to bring them home, the righteous and the unrighteous. God said he will also take sinners home. He said, the time of do-overs is over. The time of, let's just pray for him some more and then he'll stop being rebellious. Let's just pray for her some more and then she'll come home. God said that, church, when you see that person you've been praying for dies in their sin, then you will understand that sometimes there is no coming back from the kind of sin, the kind of hard-heartedness and rebellion that some people, family members, friends, those we know, get into, and there is no help for those people. God himself cannot reach them or draw them back, and therefore they will receive, according to Ezekiel chapter 33, and also Ezekiel chapter 3, and also Ezekiel chapter 18. If you are not familiar with these scriptures, because some pastor out there told you that the Old Testament is irrelevant, please make sure you read those three chapters, 13, 33, 3 of the book of Ezekiel. There is penalty for consistent unrepentant sin. And in these days, because the stakes are high, that penalty is death. The banner scripture is this: behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Stand upon the wall and wait for me. This is what the Lord said the day that I started writing down this prophecy. Another scripture is, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so, I had this dream. It has multiple parts, and so I labeled every part for us to clearly understand. The first part of the dream is called the coming of the bridegroom. I dreamt that we were in the end times, and people were doing exactly what they wanted. And then this loud cry went out, and the cry was, prepare! The bridegroom approacheth. He comes! It's a very loud cry. And people absolutely did nothing different. They stayed doing exactly what they were doing. They didn't care. They didn't look up. They didn't do anything because they actually did not hear the cry. This is for church and unchurched. Unbelievers out there will not hear the cry of the season that the bridegroom is approaching. Unbelievers out there will see all the things that are happening in the world today, and they will go after the functionaries of intelligence. Who are these? These are the market experts. These are the real estate experts on TV talking about, well, the market is dipping left right now, but we predict that in two more seasons, it's going to dip up and then go back to the right, and we're going to be back in utopia. It's the money people, it's the Bitcoin people, it's the news media, it's all the lying governments in whatever country you're living in at the moment. These are the lying functionaries of our time that unbelievers and even Christians listen to. And so because your ear is tuned to that, these people are utterly unaware of the season that we are in. And you can tell because when the harm that causes harm came in, people were totally following and marching to the drum of the government en masse. So the ability of people to perceive that this was deception and a lie was very, very low. Many people did this because they were offered the cheese of getting back to normal, and they ate it hook, line, and sinker. So in this season that the cry went out, prepare for the bridegroom approacheth, where is this cry from? This cry is from the story of the wise and the unwise virgins. All 10 of them fell asleep, but when the cry came that the bridegroom was coming, they woke up, and only 5 had spare oil to trim their lamps and still be found waiting with energy, with stamina, with endurance, with expectation, with hope, even in the dark night that was upon them. But the other 5 were completely out of oil. And then they wanted the wise 5 to share with them. And the wise 5 wisely said, no, we can't. The next part of the dream I titled The Pursuit of the Wicked. When the cry went out, I saw that some people went outside and they began to run. These people were running exactly the way people run in the horror movie from something that we can't see. They were running and running and running with so much fear until sweat like a river began to run on their bodies. And they were obviously in terror, but they made no sound. They could not cry out. They could not say anything. They were running in sweat and terror, but their mouths have been silenced from speaking. And I saw in that situation that a large dog, a big black wolf, was chasing these people so close to them, so close to them. And it is this thing that they were fleeing from. Other people could not see this animal, but I could see it, and I heard a voice say, the wicked flees when no one pursues. It was some kind of hound that was chasing these people, but they could not outrun it, and I saw that this dog from hell was sure to run these people down. The scripture is, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And this is exactly what I mentioned in the beginning, that God says that it is time that the wicked are going to pay the full price. So all of us are living a life, and we are basically running up a tab. And God is saying that now this is a time where his righteous people, you that have been long, you felt that you've been long overlooked, it's been long that God would answer your prayers, it's been long that you would get the justice that you deserve, God says that the tab of the righteous, which has been kept clean, will be paid in full. But the wicked has also been running up a tab, getting away with this, getting away with that, hiding this, lying about that, getting away with so much. God says that you thought you were getting away with something. He's kept the tab, and now your tab is going to be paid in full. And that is what was happening. When the cry went out, I saw this next part that is called the rise of the martyrs. And I hope that the church is listening carefully. I saw that people leapt up and they began to wash their garments when they heard the cry, "Make way, the bridegroom approacheth." They took the very clothing that was on their body and they plunged their clothing into wine, not water, and they began to wash and wash and wash with all their strength. And it seemed for a while that the stubborn stains on the garments of those people were not coming out, but I saw that those people were persistent. They sat in just underwear, men and women washing and washing at these tubs of wine until eventually, as they began to lift up their robes, these stained robes began to come out whiter and whiter and whiter until they were eventually sparkling white. The people were so happy to see that their robes had gone white that they took their robes and put those wet red robes on themselves while they were still wet so that they seemed to be covered with wine as well. They became shining white, the people and their robes, and in their red robes, they fell down dead next to their washtubs. And this was the exit of the martyrs. So that all the people who have not sat down in sobriety to soberly read Matthew 24, the people who have greatly labored in deception, who think that there is some magical elevator coming to snatch them away before this body of Christ is both tested and purged and a certain number taken away. Let me read for you. And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. This is Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. And this is just basically saying that all the people who have died across history for their faith in evil seasons of persecution that have arisen on this earth, such as the time of the Middle Ages when a lot of Christians were put to death, such as the time of the Spanish Inquisition and other such nefarious periods of history in the Catholic Church's lifespan, many Christians have died for their faith. And the strange thing is, and I've covered it all already in previous prophecy, so I will not go into it, is that God was asking, what has possessed this modern church to make them think that their Savior will die for them and that nothing will be required of them? God was asking, and it's in the prophecy because his questions are part of his dialogue with his body in this time. Why is it that people in India and China and other countries like Pakistan are willing to die for their faith? People in Nigeria are being bombed in their churches. They're being set on fire in their transportation by Muslims in the north who are killing them. And God says that these people do not renounce their faith. They snatch groups of schoolgirls and take them because they are Christian. Why is it, God is asking, that in other countries, martyrdom has been a time-honored thing from the old days? It is still happening now. We know that there are persecuted churches. We know that there are persecuted Christians. We know that people have been put in jail for interminable sentences and have died in terrible, terrible conditions. Why does the modern-day church in certain parts of the world believe that dying for faith has nothing to do with them, that Jesus has planned an escalator exit out of here and that they will be tested by nothing. This martyrdom is coming before anyone goes anywhere. This is the persecution of the church, and people will lose their lives. People who will not renounce Jesus, even in the crushing of the beast system, they will stand on their faith and they will be put to death for it. The next thing I saw in this dream, it was called the overseers. When the cry went up, "The bridegroom cometh, prepare," I saw that other people began to go all over the place in a very busy and busybody way. They had so much to do, and they were completely occupied with correcting other people. They wanted other people to know everything that they were not doing right, and that's not biblical, and this and that. I saw them acting like professors and geniuses. So the louder the cry went up to prepare, these people occupied themselves with other people's business. They were people who knew. They began to debate the word of God, acting like the smartest people on earth. And God said, these are the overseers, the self-appointed ones that come to debate and scatter my words. You will always see them everywhere, and by their fruit you shall know them. And I certainly get endless visits from these people on the Master's Voice. They are never lacking here to add their 2.5 cents to the whole dollar that God has given me for his people. These are empty bags of wind. They actually know nothing of the truth. They are the overseers, the ones who appoint themselves, the stewards of my word, even though they don't really understand it. For them, learning never comes to an end. They learn and learn, but continue to know and understand nothing. Their carcasses also will fall. Now, this is a heavy indictment for God to say that just for meddlesomeness in Christianity and being an empty bag of wind, meaning that you don't actually have a proper grasp of the scripture, and yet you can probably quote many of them, but the true application, the spirit of the letters, the spirit of the word, you lack it. You don't know how to apply the word. You don't actually know how to put the word of God together like Legos, but you're quick to quote here and quote there and correct here and quote there. And then God says, for this, your carcass will fall. Well, what that means is that instead of you building your foundation 800 billion stories deep, which is about where we'll need it to be, because the storms that are coming are at least 799.9 billion stories tough. And so if you build to 800 billion deep, when you get hit by a 799, because you have that 1% advantage, you will not fall and crash like a destroyed tree. But God says that these are ones that have the letter, and a lot of them also legalism and the law. They are unable to coexist among Christians because the critical eye that they have is constantly pointing out everything that is wrong, and so they cannot even keep communion because they demand perfection and they are blind to the fact that there is no perfection in them to begin with. He says their carcasses will fall because their roots don't go down deep enough. And I saw, indeed, that a wind came and blew these people away, and there was no trace of them anymore because they could not submit to the word of God, but they wanted to debate it and dispute it always. And the scripture for this part is this: but you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12 and verse 4. The other scripture is this: they are always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And this is 2 Timothy 3 verses 7 to 9. So there's a type of person who spends a lot of time in study, but because that study is not actually mixed in with faith. It's not mixed in with the living application of the Word of God. God says that they can study from now until the New Jerusalem comes down, and they will still never be able to come to the knowledge of truth. This is the kind of person in my personal experience who constantly will come here listening to these videos, but is such a critic. You check their channel, they don't even have the decency to have one or two cat videos. These are people producing exactly 0% of effectiveness in the body of Christ. They're absolutely doing nothing, but they will come to a place where the fruitful tree, the hardworking ox, is laboring and constantly come with critiques and questions and nitpicking, and yet they can't stop coming here. The irony of it. The next part that I saw, please listen, was war in America. I saw people running helter-skelter as war came to the Americas. War came. America brought war upon her head. And because of her, her neighbors to the north and to the south began to suffer from the fallout of the magnitude of her errors. Her neighbors lamented and they cried to God. And this is what they said: why have we come to this, Lord? And the reply came down: because you consented to the doctrines of the whore of Babylon. You lay down with her, Canada, Mexico, Nicaragua, Chile, Brazil, all of you down there to the bottom. You lay down with her and you accepted her policies. All of you small islands around Grenada and St. Lucia and Jamaica and Barbados, all of you around. It says you consented, Puerto Rico. You agreed to let the whore of Babylon rule over you. And many of you have your hearts in one accord with the harlot of the revelation. Therefore, her plagues have come upon her. And because you are connected to her in doctrine, because you love her, and because your geological landmass, meaning your physical countries, are connected to her, you now feel the heat of my wrath against America, who is my enemy. I saw people running, desperate running. They ran by day, they ran by night, small children even with their parents. And yet in all the tumult and upset, I could not see where all these people were going to. This part is called the judgment of children. I saw that children were judged for their sin. I saw that against all popular beliefs and all the false doctrine that people believe, that young people and even small children have sin. They have rebellion and they have something that God called recalcitrance, which is a form of spiritual hardening. Recalcitrance is basically when you tell your child something, don't do that, and standing in front of your face, they do it. And then you correct them and you tell them, I said, don't do that. And then with you standing there watching, they do it, and they are staring directly into your eyes. Young child, middle child, teen. That is recalcitrance. It means a slow process of hardening. And when you hear this part, calci, in the word, it literally talks of calcification, hardening. The same thing that happened to Pharaoh. The more Moses came to Pharaoh with the word of God, the more that word hardened him. This is what God says is in children. Recalcitrance, when you define it, one of its definitions is this: the state of being unmanageable. So you become hardened in your little 8-year-old, 6-year-old, 19-year-old, 12-year-old heart, and you do wrong, you are bad, and you refuse to listen or receive discipline until the final state of that child is that there is a hard inner core that their parents never work to get rid of. And a lot of parents today, because you're on your phones and your tablets and on Ashley Madison with your girlfriend, or Facebook with Chad, your ex-boyfriend that your husband doesn't know, or because you are busy, or because you are overworked, or because there's sickness in your family, or because you have too many responsibilities and it's unfair. These are the states of life, by the way, that truly exist. You do not pay attention to these children. And when they start this pushback that actually is a demonic root that gets into all children very early, and it is the job of parents to work this root out of their child. You get your child is pretty on the outside, but on the inside, because we are born in iniquity, conceived in sin, your precious golden child is full of weeds, and it's your job to weed that child so that you get a good young man, young woman in the future. Most parents are too busy, neglectful, tired, or just frustrated because of modern life, and they don't do this. So God says that inner seed, that inner core of rebellion is never worked out of the children by their parents. And he says that parents are determined to be their children's friend instead of their children's parents. But here is the end of what I saw in this dream. I saw that the Grim Reaper, that is the spirit of death, entered the nations, and parents began to learn the bitter lesson that children indeed have sin, and that all sin, even the sin of children, will be judged by God. I saw funerals. I saw many, many funerals, and some of the coffins were so tiny as parents received the penalty of error in the body. The child was struck in judgment of the Lord, but it was the parent that bore that tearing and piercing of the loins as they bowed in grief, and I saw them burying their children. God said to tell you that he will judge children with their own judgment, the same way he judges adults with their own judgment. Now, I cried out to the Lord when I saw this. I said, Lord, and this is something I do very often. I do not speak of this, but now that I am finishing this work, there are people who have no idea of the time, the effort, and the prayers that I have poured into the foundation of this nation. And the Lord has begun telling me for the past few years, you waste your prayers. I do not say to you to pray for this people. And that is the same charge he gave to Jeremiah. Do not pray for them. You do not know the extent of the iniquity in them. And so when I saw the children being judged, just like Ezekiel fell to his knees when Pelatia was killed, God struck this man called Pelatia right in the house of the elders, one of the church. And at that time, Ezekiel, he fell to his knees and he said, ah, Lord God, but will there remain any alive in Israel? I cried to the Lord when I saw this. But a screen went up. The Lord put up a screen between me and him. He was no longer hearing me. He was busy settling accounts. And I saw that golden books were revolving in the air. Nobody was touching them. Golden ledgers. They were making checks and balances. And what they were working with was not money. They were working with human souls. Bright gold ledger balancing itself, plus, minus, plus, minus. I saw that the number of men on earth was being adjusted to a very, very, very low number. And I remembered the word of Isaiah 13. A man shall become rare. A man shall be more rare and harder to find than the fine gold of Ophir. I was still and I cried, but the Lord did not hear me. There was a gray screen. I call it the paralyzing screen between us, our world, and him. And I realized that this is what happens when you do not have an option anymore. And we all know the paralyzing screen. You're online and you're trying to fill a form. You fill the form, fill the form, fill the form. But you might have missed something. When you get to the end and you want to click next or you want to click done, the option is grayed out. Why? Because you have not completed everything. You have to go back and see what you missed. When you make it perfect, the button turns blue and then you can click and send the form. Well, God grayed out that option to keep begging for people, to keep begging God have mercy, because I can see they still don't understand. God have mercy, because when I'm bringing the prophecy, instead of them listening to the prophecy, they're asking me about my personal life. God have mercy, because instead of people focusing on what you say will come, they're saying, well, is it going to be this that happens to us and this that happens to us, showing that they have no apprehension that in the end times, 6 or 10 things can happen to one person at the same time. This same person can be judged with 6 judgments for 6 different sins, and America has far more than 6 sins. The scripture for this portion is this: as for you, do not pray for these people. Do not raise up a cry or a prayer on their behalf, for I will not be listening when they call out to me in the time of their disaster. Jeremiah 11 and verse 14. There's a prophecy that you should look into. I will link it in the description box that talks about how I physically saw the devil, not the actual devil, not represented to me. I just saw an evil so old and so ancient, and God put that evil maybe 600 galaxies away from me for my own safety. I saw across an unfathomable distance to where an evil was working on an abacus, and he was subtracting out of every group of 10, 9. He was taking away 9 human beings out of every group of 10. And the only human beings that he could not take away were those that were represented as a drum or a barrel of oil. Those were the only people that he could not cancel out. And the number of those barrels that were full of oil, I kid you not, was 1 in every 10. I will link that prophecy in the description. It has no video. And so God says, so I saw that the Lord made the screen gray towards me, and he was not receiving intervention. He was not receiving intercession or any more prayers from me. At that time, he was settling accounts with the sons of men. He was settling accounts with them and their children. And nothing that I was trying to say to the Lord at that time was of any more use, because the time to settle accounts with the world had come. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. Isaiah 13 and 9. And then I had a vision into heaven. I'm not going to tell you that I saw angels and grass growing there that sings. I had the impression of looking up into the heavens, and this is what it was. It was not good up there. There was a ton of activity going on, but the atmosphere up there was grim. It was grim. It was busy. There was up and down busyness. Those in heaven who were tasked to bring good to men were busy bringing that good to men. And I keep speaking about how the righteous will get theirs, but those who were tasked to bring evil to men were bringing that evil to men. And the unrighteous, the wicked, the abusers, the unjust, the sympathizers with sin will also get theirs. And so I saw people experiencing sometimes just good, just bad, but also a mixture. I saw people experiencing good and bad at the same time. Getting a promotion, but losing your mother in the same month. Getting married, and then your father passes away. I saw people having to bear good and bad, loss and blessing at the same time, and that's how it will be for many. And then the next thing was Sweden and Denmark are going to receive some mysterious disease that cuts the population down to half. God says that the churches in these nations are empty. They don't even name the name of Jesus, and they do not care about Christianity. He said their churches are like mausoleums. So let the whole country become a mausoleum. A mausoleum is a big and fancy grave. It is a very big monument, but underneath is just one dead body lying there. It's usually the kind of crypt that rich people make for themselves. And so he said, since the country Since their churches are like a big empty grave, he said, let the whole country become a grave. They will be taken away for complacency and because they do not know or love or seek my truth. They are empty vessels, so let empty vessels be taken away. And I already spoke of this, about how the Lord said he is sending a wind. And every vessel that is not full of the oil needed for the end times, every vessel that is not full of the Lord's truth, that is not full of the righteousness of Yah, the wind will simply uproot that thing and take it away, because this is the time of settling the accounts of men. And so the Lord said that this is the judgment that will come upon nations that believe in this doctrine of, but we're good people. He said just nations like that, they run on things like equity and doing good works and social justice and you know, having a balanced fairness in society, but they neglect true things like who is Jesus Christ and by whom alone can man be saved. You have a just society and an equal society, but you forget about Jesus, righteousness, repentance of sin, apologizing to God for the wickedness that does happen even in nations that are good and balanced and fair. God says that entry into heaven is not by works, because no man can boast of his accomplishments before Yah. It is only by putting your absolute faith in Christ Jesus and committing your life into the hands of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The next thing I saw is I saw people dying because airplanes began to drop out of the sky all over the world. Many airplanes falling, people exiting this life suddenly. I was hearing all the tearful cries and the phone calls and the goodbyes that are recorded on the black box when it is recovered. Airplanes fell into the sea. Some of them fell on land and they didn't hit homes, but some of them fell in commercial and residential areas, and death happened to people who were sitting in their own houses like that. People left life, and that is what we are starting to see now. People are exiting life like this. You go out to walk your dog and somebody just stabs you 13 times, as happened this week. You just lose your life like that, based on someone else's madness. Many 911 calls, God says, that we do not want to hear. I was seeing all this in the dream. 911 calls are going to increase in the United States. And the things that people were saying, well, let me tell you that the 911 operators, especially the females, they began to quit with PTSD. I saw a woman sitting in a meeting with her boss and she was literally shaking. She had some kind of nervous breakdown because of the kind of calls that she had been fielding over a while. And she was telling her boss, I can't do this anymore, sir. These calls are making me crazy. You can give me a different department or I'm going to have to resign. Because it was father-daughter murders, incest, rape. It was escape victims that were getting out of cults and these other kind of, you know, when you're caught and held somewhere, killing babies. This is the kind of stuff that this woman had been dealing with, and she couldn't handle it anymore. I saw that she quit, and a male operator took her place, and he quit also in no time. God says that America is going into insanity, madness with the things that people will do here. It will be too much for the cops, the judges, the first responders, the DA's office, the lawyers, the fire people, rescue people. They will not be able to handle the type of things that they will be fielding. It will just be too much for them. I saw grown men sitting on the pavement and crying when they came to the house to answer the type of call that they had been called for. And so God just says that this is coming to America, her payment for sin. The nation shall be turned into hell, and those that forget God. Part of what that scripture means is that when a nation departs from God, begins to walk in wickedness, begins to sin and exalt Satan and make him lord over them by their actions, that nation literally turns into hell, because hell is where Satan and the demons feel most comfortable. So it is time to examine your heart, the hearts of your children. It is time to make a firm decision who your life will be given over to and to do things differently. The Lord says that he always warns first, but the problem is that he has been warning for a long time. And I've always said that This nation has received endless warnings before you ever saw my face. True ministers, pastors, prophets have spoken to America for at least 60 years, and everyone thought, mocked those people, cursed those people, and thought that they could continue kicking the can down the road. So if you are caught in any sin, you must be realistic and patient. It takes years for people to become the slaves of their sins. Well, in the same way, you're going to have to do the work, repent, ask God to cleanse you with the blood, and work your way out of that addiction, that porn addiction, that drug addiction, that anger problem, whatever it is. The same way you got in, with the help of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you can get out. And so, this is the prophecy, settle the accounts of men. It's not even a month old, September 18, 2022. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. God bless you. Thank you for being a support to this ministry. Walk in the truth of the word. Go to the blog and read these messages for yourself. I put the links under every video, but there's no way that I'm also going to click it for you. You have to do the work yourself. Until I see you again, God bless you and goodbye.